meeting to order at 9:02. I'll make a motion to accept the agenda for Commissioners' meeting Thursday, October 22nd, 2020. Do I have a second? All in favor, say any changes, amendments? Okay. All in favor?
I am Paula, not Paul.
Pardon?
I'm Paula Doyle, not Paul Doyle.
Did I say Paul?
It says Paul on here.
Number six.
Other than that, I'm scooping.
We're always wondering about it.
That's Flynn. I'm sorry. We'll change that template.
All right.
I let it go last week, but I cannot let it go again.
I don't blame you. Well, Jay spells my name wrong all the time, too. I always spell it with a C.
Oh, and also, I'm sorry. The date on here is wrong.
Ooh, 11,
oh,
11-5.
Oh, wait. 22.
Oh, that's
I'm looking for the date for my notes. November 5th.
So she must have taken this to do a template.
I
so.
I'll
the one last week was right because I just
read them.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm new with this again, okay?
So the agenda for November 5th, 2020.
Yes.
So we don't want to go back to the future. Any other amendments other than what we mentioned? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Yes.
All right. Agenda is approved. I don't think we're going to have Kelly this morning. They are paving as we speak. I noticed that they had already done half the road, starting at the bottom of Briston's Dock, and they had already reached the summit.
Oh, no kidding.
When I drove up there before coming to this meeting. And it was described, and Kelly had told us that they were doing what is called a heavy shim. What I saw was at least a one-inch overlay. So we're getting a full, complete layer, not a shim, if everybody understands what a shim is.
Mm-hmm.
You put the asphalt down and you drag a blade, and so the high spots in the road, you may still see a little scraping over that, but no, this is a complete overlay.
I think we were supposed to get a one and a something.
Yeah.
I saw the note, yeah. But I think because the road is so...
I don't remember the word shim being used, so...
Yeah, I don't either. I remember overlay. I'm sorry.
So, yeah, we're definitely getting a one-inch or more overlay.
It doesn't matter now. If it's still up, they should take it. They had the detour sign still up this morning.
Yep.
It's still
for
detour.
No, I drove
not
across
it.
When
I came out, they were still working
well,
on it.
Well, I think Brian just passed... Because when I drove over, it was asphalt on Idlewise Drive. So they just asphalted over the...
Oh, I didn't
see
it done yesterday. That's
why
I thought it was...
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
They were working when I came out this morning.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so they just filled it this morning.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. So they probably left the detour until Brian came in and put the patch in.
Okay.
Which they have done.
Right.
Everything is good.
Good. Thank you. We have a correspondence from Jim Ellis. I think everybody saw that. Potholes.
Yep.
At the, I believe what he was referring to was the intersection of 113 and Idlewise Drive.
No.
Mm-hmm.
It was also Sardin.
Sardin?
Yeah. 113 and
Sardin. Oh, 113 and Sardin.
I actually drove over that yesterday. There are potholes. I drove over them.
Yeah.
But are they in our road or are they on 113?
It's usually that interesting, you know, the merging of those two materials.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying he wants.
Yeah, Kelly said he's going to take a look, so that was...
Yeah.
I know that last year at that corner of Idlewise Drive, Kelly filled those. He said he would just go ahead and do them because he was there. I remember that, because that one was really bad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if he's out doing asphalt and he knows there's something, he typically will fill it.
Okay.
He had said he was going to take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I did talk with Kelly yesterday because he wasn't sure if he was going to be here today, but I just wanted to get an update on the new truck.
Mm-hmm.
We should have that at the end of next week.
They were also doing, potholes on Adelaide Drive this morning.
Oh, they were?
Our guys.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, they filled those ones right in front of, like, 40s, high 40s.
Yep, okay.
They filled those. There's some pretty bad ones.
Yeah.
They filled those early this morning.
Great.
So.
New truck end of next week.
Oh, the truck is
That's what Kelly was told, yep. So
every week it seems like it's next week.
No.
Well, there was a part that did come in, but it was the wrong part. So they sent it back. But otherwise, I guess the rear dump body is on. The framing for the wing blades and front blade is on. The hydraulics are in.
Mm-hmm.
I have with the new truck.
Yeah.
The new truck doesn't have plates, and I'm waiting for something from the state. Becky was from the town of Madison.
Yep.
last week was I was supposed to get something, and I haven't received anything. I was going to check with her while I was here today.
Okay. If you do check with her today, and I'll bring this up now for conversation and maybe a decision, can we transfer the plates from the 550 if we sell that to the new truck?
Well, we...
I don't know if they do that in
the
state.
Yeah, yeah,
they're just
the
asking.
Time and,
right, you're right.
Yeah.
So,
because if we do need to use that truck between now and the time that it's sold, we can still use it. Okay.
So,
right. We don't pay for them, so we don't. There's no cost to us. We might as well just get brand new plates and start fresh with it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I want to bring up the question. So, since we anticipate the new truck being of use very shortly, what's our decision? What's our plan on the old truck, the 550?
Well, I know Kelly did say that there he thought he knew of someone interested. So I guess it's how much are we going to get for it? Yeah.
Well, we could do that. We could go and type all the information to get the Kelly Blue Book.
We could. Do you know ballpark what it's worth?
Is it worth like $4,000, $5,000? Is it worth $8,000 or $9,000?
I would say it's probably five plus.
Okay.
But so.
Does that include like the plow on and everything?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah.
You can't. Okay.
Now, what about the sander? Can the sander be transferred to another vehicle?
Can Kelly be considered in this?
Yeah.
I think we should ask Kelly about it next week.
Yeah. I think that
should be. There's no point. Yeah.
Well, I guess my question is, do we want to hold on to the truck?
I think I'd like to have him a discussion.
Yeah.
Okay. Because if anything goes wrong with it, that's it. It died. And then we're selling a dead truck. So, okay. So we'll talk about it next week.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to skip over the Reinhardt project because we expect Jones and Beach and Jake to be in. Okay. Water report will be Ian after that. Admin report. We're moving. We're flying now. Donna.
Okay. I've kind of got a handle on all my, on the water bills. I know the ball was dropped last year after the fact. No other bills went out after August for people that owed bills. That's not knowing.
Late,
you know.
Months, like a second notice or even a first?
This would have been a fourth.
Fourth notice.
Okay, so... When I worked with Catherine on Tuesday, she set me up. She has all the my templates, and I've put in my Outlook calendar so that I'm aware to send everything out when on time. So we have 13 customers that still owe us from this year. So that anything under the $1,000, I rebilled and went out. That all went out yesterday, and that's a total of $6,085 that's due from the
those 13 people. I think the issue
and,
was, I think I don't want to interrupt you, Don.
Yeah.
The issue was we had like a $50 late fee, and then we had a $100 late fee. But then the ordinance says $25 a month.
Yeah.
$10 a month, every single month, and that was never, so
it,
we weren't sending out monthly statements adding that $10 in every month. We did the 50 and the 100. Even 3 years ago, we were just doing the 50 and the 100.
Yeah.
We weren't doing that $10 a month going forward.
So that's my question. Do you want me to do the $10 a month?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the ordinance. That's what we should
do. The ordinance.
We have to.
Okay.
Yeah,
I don't think that that's
we can't change the ordinance without having a public hearing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's never been done. So I will start doing that as of next month.
Well, and if we, how many months have gone by since the last one?
Well,
but they've never been billed. Can I do that? Or
yeah.
So if it's 3 months worth of late fee.
Well, no, it'll be back to April. It'll be back to April.
August. Because it would be
August
was the 100.
Okay, August. So
September,
would be October.
September, October would be 10, and then November will be another 10.
Yeah.
So send out $30 extra on top of whatever you sent last month.
Yeah. And then
okay, so I should have done that
Or if you're going to send out in the month of November, bill them for September and October late fees, $20.
Yeah, and write on it, September, October.
And then in December, send out another one that is another.
Okay.
Yeah, and write on the bill, September, October late fees, $10
yeah.
a month.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, and that's, like I said, and I did already bill the two, we only had two seasonal turnoffs scheduled, so
okay.
I already billed them.
So you want to check Lapham because they were not on that list. So,
yeah.
Because they shut their heat off in that house.
Right.
And so
and they didn't pay for the last year's seasonal turn-on and turn-off. Those got billed yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Also.
Rebuild.
Yeah, rebuild.
Yeah.
Which house are you talking about?
On the corner.
It's
a corner of Vitalife and Lakeview Drive.
They have a couple other houses.
They don't do
Yeah,
property.
Two houses,
yeah. One's on Oak Ridge and Porridge Shore, the others at the end of Idlewise and Oak Ridge.
So this now brings up the other question. Since we've gone past the $50 late fee, the $100 late fee, and I'm just waiting for my computer to boot up so I can read you the water ordinance, there then becomes a water shutoff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually done around this time of year while the ground is still soft and there's no snow, so we can find the valve. So,
does it say that we have to shut it off, or that we have the right to shut it off?
We have the right to shut it
off.
Okay.
It doesn't say we will shut it off.
Well, let me.
Per account past 90 days, per the water ordinance, all accounts over 90 days are subject to termination of water services.
Yes, subject to. So we can if we choose to do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
awesome.
So when you talk about the 13, Donna, these are people who are under $1,000 owed, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's another group of people that are over $1,000 owed in arrears, years worth.
Mm-hmm.
Probably if you had that $10 a month, it'd be a lot more.
Yeah.
So we have to.
I don't think we can go back and charge those people because the office never billed them.
Yeah.
So you can't all of a sudden say, oh, by. So we weren't every month sending a statement and adding $10 to anybody's bill. I don't think that's ever been done.
My records, and I've had records.
Years
know,
and years of history.
It's just
never
it's
been done.
Just a pile of bills that hadn't been paid sitting in those.
Yeah. So we were
folders.
Right. So once they didn't pay after two or three attempts at the $50 and $100 statement, they just got stuck in a folder and we weren't following up. We weren't billing them monthly.
Yeah, but why would we have to bill them monthly?
Well, because
it's $10 a month monthly. If you get a bill,
for the late fee, they should.
Oh, a credit card. You got a 15% interest rate. It accrues every day. You don't have to get a bill every day.
No, but your monthly statement showing. The follow-up, I guess. I mean,
no, we're not responsible for putting out a periodic bill every month. It's clear in the ordinance. It's clear.
But
to
we
us.
Never. Nobody
I'm
followed up
so
on
the
that.
Ones
no,
that we, the, what about all the ones that we are now going to have to take the small claims?
Yeah, there's
four of them.
We can't recalculate those.
No,
we've already given them the amount.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, we've
yeah,
already.
Yeah, we should have put in that.
We should have put in the 10,
yeah.
but we didn't.
Yeah.
Now, are the new group, are you saying, that are overdue now? I'm confused about
right,
this.
Yeah, there are.
What
okay.
we decided to do was, we decided to, let's focus on the oldest ones first.
Okay.
So the ones that were over 1,000, just so it wouldn't be
the biggest ones.
Right.
Okay.
So we'll get the oldest ones, and because
okay.
those are the people that potentially, their property could go into foreclosure,
sure.
it could get sold,
okay,
and we
that.
Would lose our, you know,
so now
right.
we have another group.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this
then which
is,
bill have they not paid? They haven't paid this last one, or they haven't paid 2 years?
No, this is mostly is this year.
So they haven't paid this year.
Yeah.
And those are not the same as the ones we're putting into a
correct.
Okay.
Correct.
But they haven't paid this year. The question you're asking is, do we want to turn off their water before winter?
Correct.
I'm just concerned. I think we need to give them some time. I mean, we didn't put it. That should be in the water system ordinance.
It is. It says that we.
Yes.
We are subject to.
Yeah.
And that goes on the last bill that in August that goes out.
How many are there? Actual number of properties. How many own ones?
13 that I sent out yesterday.
These are people that have always paid in the past.
They only owe this year.
Yeah.
So they could be new or they could.
Yeah.
So we don't know that whether they're.
Most of them is just this year's at $0550. That's the $50 May, well, the July, and then the $100. Yeah.
Well, it's then $10 a month. So
yeah.
Five,
I have one that had this year's the $550, but didn't pay the late fees from last year that she owed. So that's $700. I had a new water hookup that he never paid the prorated one, so I charged him the $50 because I never. This is, you know, it's going through the
cracks. I think
cracks.
We need to send out this next bill. And I think we need to put maybe a letter on cover saying we've attached your new bill or something. Failure to pay this bill.
I just sent the...
Results in water shut off.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
At any time.
Yeah.
If you don't pay this bill by... I don't think to try and get it done before the...
Holidays.
Freeze is the right thing to do.
No, we can, if there's no snow on the ground, we can always turn them off, the valve off, because it doesn't depend on freeze.
Right. So I just say, failure to pay this bill.
So in November, I just sent these bills out yesterday.
Okay.
But you didn't put the extra $20 on.
And I didn't put the $20 on.
Okay.
So the
November bill.
So this would be November bill, because, you know.
In November, you're going to have $30 on.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
I think you should put a cover note on it.
Okay.
Just say attached is your water bill.
Yeah.
You've now been charged. You're now responsible.
And according to the water ordinance,
you are responsible for late fees.
Yeah.
Follows.
Mm-hmm.
Failure to pay this bill in the next 30 days will result in potential. You're having your water shut off.
Okay.
I would just state that because I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
I
got to tell you, I mean, I'm just wondering if we have the right address for people. Like,
well, I
go back to this again.
Yeah,
I mean,
I've done a lot of work.
I know. I mean, they don't come back, but yet.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing you could say is if you have a problem paying this, please contact the office. Maybe we can help you set up a payment schedule. Like, is there anything we want to do? Like. It's a lot of money for people, and if you're behind, and now you're further behind because you got these late fees.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If somebody could pay us $50 a month for the next for the rest of the year.
Well, we had that one situation.
Yeah, but that was a court order.
Yeah, and I don't know.
I have a couple of people like this year that they said, "Gee, I can pay you $200. Can I pay you $200 later and not get the late charge?" And I took that upon myself. Because they were making the effort.
Yeah.
Well, and they did.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, if I could.
Contact the office or, you know, if you, I don't know, I feel like we should.
But for them to just ignore the bill isn't
just
right
ignore
either.
It isn't right. No,
yeah.
I agree.
No.
So,
yeah.
Seriously, what I see happening. So, you see 13 non-paid for this year. You see four that are in arrears for multiple years. And I've warned against this in years past. This number is growing because I think the feeling is, I still get water. I haven't paid in 3 years.
Well, and I haven't gotten a bill from the district in 10 months.
I just think we should be very clear. Like, I mean, the power company doesn't shut off your power just because you don't pay your bill for a couple months. They notify you. You get letters in a different color envelope, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're kind of pretty clear that, like...
Illegally.
And you can put in their last notice.
Yeah.
You know, you can call it whatever. I think you can call it something. But I think we have to be very clear with people that...
Mm-hmm. I think being a utility,
there are certain criteria.
Like Eversource, that that you have to go through multiple, notices before you can't come and shut the water off in the middle of the night with household little kids.
Yeah.
You know, you just can't do that. But,
exactly, that's what I mean. And that's what I'm worried is we're going to shut somebody's water off who's then all of a sudden going
to...
But I think we have to...
Get Johnny Cochran on it.
Yeah. We have to... I want to go back and look at those people that are... the four that are over $1,000 to see if any one of them still has running water.
How do we know that? How do you determine that?
I don't think Ian has been giving us a list if he ever did shut it off. But the way you would go about it is simply to send Ian out, put the stick down, and make sure it's off.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure most of them are shut off.
Okay.
If I can, going back to the, each year there's a file. And there's a list from, 2015 or 16, and there is a list of shutoffs.
When was the bill due? June 1st?
May 1st.
May 1st. Well, this year we gave till July 1st because
okay.
of COVID.
Okay. To me, there should be a six-month final notice, like whatever that is. To me, there should be a time. Maybe it should be in the ordinance. I don't know. But I just
think that could be in part of...
Maybe we adjust that. But at a certain point, I think I would write on the envelope. And if you have to use a marker, use a marker.
Mm-hmm.
Final notice. I mean, I think people... I don't know.
I know when I worked doing bill, we had like a green envelope for the second, another color for the third, and then there was a final notice envelope that went out.
Yeah.
Like you said, you know.
Maybe I'll
and I don't know if you could go to Office Depot and buy some different color envelopes.
Yeah. I was thinking just go buy a stamp that says final notice on it. I'm sure that's a standard.
I just think we need to communicate really well to people.
To understand our discussion and actions that will be taken. So you're going to send out, or you did send out a notice to these people yesterday?
No. I sent out the bill that everybody owed. I resent them out yesterday.
Yes, okay.
So in November, we'll draft the letter. That will go out with the $10 as per the warden ordinance per month from...
With the new tower.
And then
3 months worth.
Three months in November. And then after November, December would be
that's
a final notice.
From May. I know we gave the COVID thing, but that's 6 months that we've given people since May.
Yeah.
And everybody, I mean, if they're not new, they've gotten water bills since they've been here, so I know my water bill's due in May 1st before I get a late fee.
Right.
And to find out if people are able to pay, or you can always go into the database from Madison to see if they've actually paid their taxes.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And
that's what I do, looking up, making sure that we have the correct owner of the home, because that happened last year. That was a
oh my God.
I can't even go there.
Okay, so right now the next month's bill will include $30 late fee, which is $3 at $10 a month, and 3 months at $10 a month, and a letter saying that failure to pay within 30 days will result in a water shut off.
Yeah.
Or could result in a water shut off.
Okay.
According to the ordinance. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
And then I think what you do is 2 weeks later, you give them 15 days. 2 weeks later, you send out a notice. Your water will be shut down by the end of the week.
Yeah.
And
please prepare.
Yeah.
Okay.
Beware, your water will be shut off.
All right.
What else you got?
I have if we're going to have the public hearing, you wanted it scheduled for December 10th, which is a Thursday night. Normally, I think in the past we did it on a Saturday.
Was it December 10th?
I thought...
Yeah, we had talked about that last week, actually.
I can't see December on the slide.
I've got my calendar right there. No, December 5th is a Saturday.
That's all right, Jack.
I think it was December 5th.
I thought it was the 10th.
Was it the 10th?
I thought it was December 10th.
Let me tell you that.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess the question, are we ready to go through the ordinance if we want to do it today?
Yeah.
Make all the changes? Because we keep just not, I think that's...
Well,
then
we need the ordinance because we have to put those
in
the
paper.
Yeah,
we don't need the detail. All we need to do is
say which ordinance?
Water hookup ordinance is one thing we're going to address.
Is that the water system ordinance or is that different? I have the water system ordinance,
right.
Okay. So parking lot ordinance.
Just highway and parking ordinance.
Yep. So we don't need to have this specific detail.
Are we changing the beach ordinance?
I don't think we had anything about the beach ordinance.
Can we go over Donna's list? Cause that's
I'm sorry, I don't have...
I do.
Okay.
Right, tell us, yeah.
We have it.
So, snow plowing, the only thing we were going to do on that
push the snow into the street.
Straight, right. So I don't know if that...
Does that need to go into...
Is that an ordinance?
That's a policy.
Yeah,
we
I was
going to
say that's
it's
a policy.
It's not an ordinance.
Okay,
because
it's not in... Well, when I... The ordinances can be enforceable, and if there's a snowplow ordinance, and we say, look, you cannot plow into the street,
no.
And you'll be subject to a $100 fine.
Well, actually, plowing snow into the street is a state.
I looked everywhere,
yeah.
In ordinances for Madison, the state. I could not find anything that said that was illegal to do. So anyway,
excuse me.
Go ahead, Donna.
Who has the last four digits of 2277?
Yeah, that's me, Brad Jones with Jones & Beach Engineers.
Oh, okay.
And here comes Jake Dawson right now. So, and Ian. So,
right.
We can one table the ordinance discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I added.
So
now I know who you are, Brad.
Nice.
Okay. Sure.
All right.
Good morning, Brad. This is Jay. How you doing?
Good morning, Jay. Not too bad. Yourself?
I'm doing all right. Nice day. It's supposed to be warm.
Yeah. We have Jake Dawson and Ian both coming into the building here, so give us 2 or 3 minutes to get them settled.
We got to spray them down and sanitize them.
Sanitize them.
Okay, no, that sounds good, yep.
Okay. Have a seat.
Oh.
Grab an agenda.
Yeah. Oh, we got a whole crowd. Ah. Ian, good morning.
Nice mask, Ian.
Hey. Where am I sitting?
I have bed sheets that look like that.
I don't know where this came from.
Get away from
anyone.
Yeah.
All right.
At least any of us.
Yeah.
All right, so we got Ian, Jake, and I'm sorry.
Kirsten.
We got Brad Jones on the phone. And so.
I'm Paula Doyle.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm Kathy Kozell. And Jay Buckley, and then Donna.
And that's Carol back there behind the camera. All right. So the reason I asked everybody to come in today, so the ground's starting to get cold, or not today, but for a while there. And I wanted to talk about the project itself, where we're at, what the status and expectation is for the remainder, I guess, of the month of November, because I think after November, it'd just be too cold to work on most anything. So, Brad, I'm going to hand the microphone over to you and let you give a status update of what you know.
Yeah, that sounds good. I didn't have a chance to talk to Jake prior to the meeting, but I guess a couple of things are really if the pumps have come in or are scheduled. I know they haven't come in yet, but maybe they're scheduled for next week. And I believe the punch list was the other item that we wanted to see how he's making out with that. I'm sure the warm weather will help we can get that wrapped up. And I assume the top coat of paving must have taken place. I think that was scheduled as well. So that's kind of, I guess I've got the questions more than information for you. But
all right. Jake, do you want to?
Right. So I talked with Brad last week. Brad, I kind of left you alone with the thing that's going on in your life right now. I didn't want to call you last night.
But thank you. Yep.
We have a decision to make. We have one pump that's coming in this week?
Next week.
We have a second pump that will be here probably mid-December.
Maybe as early as late November.
Okay.
So.
So knowing what we know, I would say first week of December is probably safe. As far as there's a couple holdups on why we haven't finished. A, we're waiting for pumps, and B, we're waiting for a transfer switch. The transfer switch is what I've been explained to by multiple vendors is due to the hurricanes and COVID, transfer switches and generators are very difficult to come by. I'm running into this on another project in OSPE where I was just told that the generator will be here at some point. That's the answer I'm getting, at some point. So, hard to plan with that. So, with that being said, I talked to CED yesterday, who was the vendor that we chose for the transfer switch, and their answer was the same as it was a month ago, saying, don't know what to tie in. So, talking with the electrician, he's reluctant to tie the service in because it'll create a bunch of extra work to tie the service in. That's what the transfer is later.
But the water... But that doesn't really affect the pump house and the initiation of the water tank and the new water main.
It absolutely does, but I can't turn the power on.
Well, no, but it's because it requires a little bit of extra work.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't, if there's no pump, you can't do it. But if the transfer switch, you could bypass that and then have to go back and do it and add the transfer switch later. So if the pumps were here and that was the only holdup, we could work around that.
Correct. Okay. I would have to go back to Eversource, open a new work order, and start over with the design process, which would probably take us months.
If we don't do it now, because we're just waiting, are we then, say it comes in January, can it be done in January?
No, we could do it that way, absolutely, but like I would have to go back to Eversource because it was submitted to them as the design that we have, so I'd probably have to submit a new design.
No, I mean with the design that we have. So say we
and
do
add
it
later.
And we just wait, and we just sit and wait, and we say we're not going to, it's not going to work until we have the stuff we really need. Are we then waiting until the spring because we can't do any work in the winter?
Mm-hmm.
Say the thing we need arrives in January, this transfer switch.
Yep.
Or can we go ahead and do it in January or February? There's snow on the ground and it's cold, or?
I will have to ask the electrician that question.
Okay.
The short answer, and I would say it's an unofficial short answer,
sure,
was the electrician did not want to do that because he needs the dimensions and everything to put it in place as he builds it,
mm-hmm,
is how he explained it to me. But I will definitely ask him that question because it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I see what you're saying. Just do it later.
I mean, I guess the question is, instead of spending more money to work around,
mm-hmm,
can we just let the whole project sit until we have the stuff we need and it comes in
through the winter?
Or is there some damage that's going to be done to the tank?
Well, that's the question. Do we leave the water in the tank?
My position, and I think it needs to be a combined effort, but my position is, I think, you know, Brad and I had talked about today being D-Day. You know, if I didn't have pumps in place and everything, we put the project on winter shutdown as of today or tomorrow and reopen the project when weather allows and we have the parts. Because right now I'm burning up contract time,
mm-hmm,
waiting without answers.
Right.
So it's putting me in a very vulnerable position. And I feel as though even if we had the pumps at this point and we got everything up and going, I don't have enough time to tie the system in, or do I have enough confidence of working through the bugs of a brand new pump station in the middle of the wintertime to demo the old pump station. So my thought is, let's go into winter shutdown, acquire everything that we need, open the project back up when we're ready to go, and do it all at once. Because I can literally have this all completed in a week, maybe 2 weeks, once I have everything that I need. And that's my perspective.
I mean, because there's no urgency on our part to get the new water main connected to those homes. Everything seems to be running okay. But the question is, there's water in the water main, there's water in the tank.
Yes. Yeah,
can you let that sit all winter?
No, we drain the tank.
Yeah, we already talked about that. We'll drain everything
okay
down.
Yeah.
If we decide to go into a winter shutdown, we can draw the water out of the tank with pumps, you know, through the hydrant, draw that completely down. And then,
okay, so that's one option. We just stop. Mm-hmm. And we pick this up again in April as soon as we can.
Yeah.
So hopefully, by then, everything will come in.
Right.
We got good weather and we finish the project.
Yeah.
And I guess the question is there any incremental cost to do that?
No.
To the project as a whole?
No. It's actually cheaper, to be honest.
Okay.
So we're not going to run into a workaround or anything like that.
I'm sorry, I just need to understand.
No, absolutely. Great.
Option two is we get the electrician and he figures out some workaround with the transfer switch. We put one pump in.
Yeah.
When it gets here in a couple of weeks, and we do it with one pump.
Right, and that's risky. I mean, I would prefer to get all the work done, and then, I mean, because if I get the second pump in 3 weeks, it honestly would be coming in towards the tail end of when I was finishing the pump house anyhow, so I wouldn't be starting it until
we sort of like have this working.
Yeah.
And then when you get the transfer switch in,
The bigger concern is getting a call.
In the middle of the winter, you then get it perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, the issue is then he'd have to be, which he could do,
but
we'd be, tying in services come
December. That's the tricky part.
And, right, so there's two issues with that problem is that it's going to cost us more because we're going to do incremental electrical work,
mm-hmm,
and pump work because you're going to have to sort of do two things. And you potentially have weather problems.
And my take on that is I've done water my whole life, and if I can't get a replacement, if I can't get the original pump, and we put one pump online,
right,
and for some reason, factory defect, lightning strike, anything, that pump goes bad, we now have no pump station.
Right.
and now we're going backwards. I would feel a lot more comfortable if we had both pumps in. So, I mean, the whole design intent for having two pumps is redundancy. And I don't want to put a brand new pump station online without the redundancy that
okay.
we plan.
So you wouldn't recommend doing it to have both pumps.
I want both pumps before
yeah.
I take
okay,
the pump
so
station.
But that means in December, hopefully, you
yeah.
go and you put two pumps in with this other electrical workaround.
Yep.
Then you have to come back and fix the electrical workaround later whenever
mm-hmm.
you get this
transfer switch.
Yeah, as option two.
So there's incremental cost to do this solution because there's going to be incremental electrical work. It's probably incremental.
And they'll be doing the tie-ins and potentially freezing
yeah.
weather.
Yeah.
Those 19
yeah.
new.
I don't. Those are the two options I see. Are there any other?
No.
Well, if we do go with the single pump that's coming in next week,
right.
with the risk of not having it done in second pump, the pumps are to create pressure in a new zone. The zone already exists. It just has no pressure, and people have been complaining about getting 18, 20 pounds for 30 years. So if we had a pump failure, if the one we put in, Lightning Strike or whatever, failed, we'd be back to where we are right now. So it's not like they won't have water.
You'd lose pressure going through the pump. You would have to literally go through a pump.
Then you have to go back
There's
to
no
the old tanks. I mean, you're
the
working
old pump
up
house.
And
yeah.
using
yeah.
the new tanks and the new pump house.
No, no.
The old
be,
the
because
old
the new tank is actually quite a few feet higher than the old tank. So you get 2 pounds added, maybe.
Mm-hmm. But, Jay, you're now trying to force. There's no bypass. So you're now
yeah.
trying to force water through.
Through the impellers, yeah.
Through the meter, through the check
yeah.
valve and all that stuff. So
yeah.
you would have, through 90s, you would have some pressure loss.
Yeah.
For sure.
I guess the question is, to me, what is the, I mean, are people, I mean, the big issue is it really just an issue of how the public's going to perceive this? If we just put everything on a weather, on a seasonal hold, and we
yeah.
finish in the spring and say, well, we weren't able to get it done because we couldn't get the parts in that we needed, and we felt the least risky solution to that was to just put it on a seasonal hold rather than try to put something together that'll get us through the winter on this new.
Well, let me ask the other question, too. So if we decide to go that route,
right.
I'm going to now ask the question of vulnerability of the existing tank and the pump house. And some pictures were sent
right.
in by a resident showing that there's two holes in that building.
There is.
We know that.
Yeah.
I know that. I've done that for months.
I made one. Right.
Yeah, no. you had to run electrical.
Open construction site.
Yeah,
well,
you had
why are there two holes in the door? I saw the picture.
Yeah.
Why are there holes?
The electricians, you know,
the water had
these
to be,
guys,
yeah.
you know, they went through the building to be able to get water connections and electrical connections
yeah.
and things of that nature while they were doing the project.
I can easily pass both.
Yeah, one hole is this big. They took a piece of a cement block, and there's one hole that's maybe an inch and a half. Yeah, in about 30 seconds.
I'll do that today anyway, today or tomorrow anyway.
Take
so
your hat, ball hat, and just shove it in the hole.
I'm
sorry.
I
have
to give
you
some tobacco.
I think
great foam works better.
I got that, too. I got that.
I'm just going to shoot a bunch of spits.
To right your
down.
Point, Jay, there's obviously a reason we're doing this whole project. It's
yeah.
because we have concern with those tanks.
Yeah.
We have concern with, you know, we're trying to get this water pressure up to the community like they should have anyhow.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But it's, I mean, certainly from like an operational standpoint, I mean, I've said this with these tanks all along, even when we inspected them and everything, we knew where they were going to fail when we went in for inspection, and they should be replaced. There's no two ways about it. But a tank failure, especially with a redundant tank, we have two tanks there.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist as a wholesale, you know, all of a sudden we're going to flood down the mountain because 30,000 gallons would go out of the tank. You know,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't happen like that. I would say the risk-reward of, you know, continuing off this until March or April versus trying to jam in stuff now, and not just for the cost, but the actual operational issues that we can run into trying to do things in the wintertime, it's riskier to try to get this jammed in. Again, depending on if, you know, magically things just all of a sudden, you know, because that's the other concern. You start doing it, and we get delayed again for material or whatever. I mean, this has been going on for months, so... So it's just, you know, I don't know. I just, like I said, from an operations standpoint, I'm not, obviously long-term we're concerned about those tanks. You know, the bigger concern is that, you know, if one of them cracks a 2 gallon per minute leak or something, we got to take it offline. That's more of what the concern is over, you know, not actually being able to operate. You know, but they're, you know, they're our highest, they are our biggest, you know, they're our number one issue. That's why we're taking care of it. But
yeah.
So what's the dependability of the pump house? I mean, that was my question.
The pump house is virtually, you know, obviously Rhinac tanks are where 450 of the homes in this district get their water from,
right?
And roundabout way, almost all of them, you know, short of the young crowd zones. But the pump house itself is really just a building. It's giving access to the front of the tank. There's a single pump in there now, a residential $200 pump that
right.
feeds the, I think it's five Rhinac.
Number
employees.
Five, yeah.
It's not like Tacorview where you've got,
no.
you know, all these meters and pumps and valves and...
There is meters in there, there's a telemetry system in there, but this is a water in, water out. That's all this is doing. It's having exposed valves so that we got to shut things off, we've got to monitor the system, whatever.
Okay.
But, I mean, the actual pump house isn't like most of the others where you're boosting water in places, you're doing all these things. It's just literally an access point to the tank. Information in it, you know, as far as
yeah.
like I said, meters and the plumbing system and everything else.
Okay.
But that pump station is not any more vulnerable than it's, I mean, yes, we have holes in it, but believe me, the critters have been coming into Rhinac for, through the roof and,
yeah.
and everywhere else for plenty of time. I'd
yeah.
just say we want two giant holes, like that we'll take care of that. But it's, some of our pump houses.
Yeah.
Just,
so you're our water operator. I think we're going to have to rely on your opinion more so than anything else.
Right.
And so, because you basically will own whatever problem may occur
exactly.
one way or the other.
Exactly.
So your feeling is that we go slow, count all the votes. I'm sorry, I'm talking about this. So we wait and we do it right, and if that means springtime, then we go springtime.
I think so, yeah. I mean, just from having seen this scenario play out before, if you try to rush, you know, you end up with issues. And, I mean, unfortunately, everybody's in the same boat right now of having to try to get distribution parts, and it's just not easy. So
let me ask another
question.
Can I ask
a quick question about that pump house? I know last year we had a lot of concerns about it flooding and having to have the sump pump, and the door was freezing shut. And
right.
So are we just going to have to suck it up this year under those
exactly
same circumstances?
What we've done every other year. If I have to run, I mean, we're not going to rely on that. The drainage is currently there. We'll probably have to do something similar to what we did last year.
Yeah.
Again, the water is more of a spring issue, not a winter issue. So we'll see what we run into. But, yeah, I mean, historically that thing floods every single year. Part of what we were running into a year ago or so was the overflowing of that tank as well, which won't be a concern any longer. That issue's been resolved.
That's right. That was the young frow antenna thing.
Yeah, winter isn't typically where it's usually spring, come March and April, where we get water coming in. It's not typically like we dealt with if it was last winter or the winter before, where we had the overflows, frozen ground, the things in a pit, and water just constantly running in every time we had an overflow. So.
Okay.
And we don't have any deadlines that we have to get it done this calendar year in terms of the grants or
we got it extended.
We money
so we got an extension until 400 and some odd days is what we're given. But my question is, I know Rick Skorenka, we were supposed to start last year.
Yep.
And then we realized it was too late. So now we're into this year, and now we realize missing parts. So how's Rick going to take this?
He'll be fine.
Yeah.
I talked with Rick.
Okay.
Yeah, I talked to Rick a lot. You know, I mean, he asked about where we're at with Idlewise, but I'm talking with him, another system we have. And, I mean, progress is progress, Jay, and we have gone so much further than he's ever gotten up to get.
Yeah.
I mean, believe me, it's, as long as we're doing it right, that's what matters. I mean, the project is inside of it's on a time budget, it's on a financial budget, you know, it's going to be done inside of those things. It's, we're doing something that has been being attempted for, you know, 25 years in here. So, no, there won't be any. I mean, I don't want to speak for him because I haven't asked that exact question, but
I was gonna say maybe if we decide board that we want to wait till the spring, we should
send him a letter
notifying him and ask him to get back to us within a week if he has
any
issues. And that way we'll be contacting him.
An important point to that is you're still operating inside the requirements of the contract that we started the project with.
Oh, yes, yeah.
There is a winter shutdown allowed in the contract,
which
was to be anticipated starting the project on the date you did with a 400-day contract. So you're still operating inside all of the legal requirements of the contract. Winter shutdown will still be completed inside the 400 days.
Okay.
So
When does the 400 days go off? I mean, what if it gets to early March and we still don't have these parts? I think the question then becomes...
Well, you what happens when you go into winter shutdown is it stops the call.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So when we decide to say we're ready to start,
okay,
then the clock starts again. And that's why I'm concerned as a contractor right now. You know, I'm eating up time on this contract, just kind of sitting in limbo land without answers.
And is everything secure with the new pump house
yes.
built
yeah.
in terms of it being locked and secure yeah. for the winter if we do this?
Yes.
The gate for the tank, Jay, just so you know, is going in today. They're probably doing it there.
Okay.
We had to put a fence up. Two posts up with a piece of chain.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going up today. So the tank will be secure. The pump station is very secure. It's probably the most secure pump station in Idlewild. So.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, we utilize.
It'd be tough to get in that one.
Jay, what do you think? I mean, having heard all this, you're the closest to this, or Kathy, I guess you have two. I haven't been that
yeah.
close to the project. But.
Now, my personal opinion is that just for political reasons, I'd love to have it online, obviously. I think we all do, because we know what will happen at the annual meeting.
Oh, yeah.
And, but it is what it is.
But it's certainly a defensible position. It's not the fault of anyone.
Right.
No performance issues. There's no having to go back and redo anything. I mean, if you don't have the stuff, and if it's more than just the transfer switch,
yeah.
if it was just the transfer switch, the workaround might have been an option.
I already had it done.
Yeah, exactly. You, know,
guys wouldn't have even known.
But and my concern was, you know, reordering the pump, and okay, what if the pump's wrong? What if it's the wrong model? What if it's the wrong voltage? And then all of a sudden we've
That's
anticipated all this.
Yeah.
I do think general availability at the moment is okay. So, I mean, I don't know what happened with the in-crop of whatever, but we'll see. Yeah, but no, I mean, this is exactly why we don't want to try to rush through it, because those things are things that happen. You know, you order a three-phase motor, you get a single-phase motor.
Mm-hmm.
You order a, you know, whatever. And so you just don't want to be caught where, you know, you were trying to force something in,
yeah.
and next thing you know, you're like, we're
hitting
the wall again.
Terrible on the public side if we put a brand new pump station in, the pump croaks the second week.
And I do know where you're coming from. Obviously, you guys want, we all want it.
I want
it done this fall.
Yeah. But I think the progress that was made is enviable.
It's very, a lot will happen in a short period of time, and then
yep.
it just really hit a brick wall about 2 months ago, so
okay.
a month ago, whatever it was. So, but yeah, no, I think I totally understand why you want to have this done, but
I wanted to ask Brad if you had any other thoughts, or are you in agreement with the recommendation?
I do. I think that's the right call. You know, because if it get too far into it and you know we have some kind of issues, and this will give them a little more time to get the pump house correct and you know get it all set and I would think it could. You know, start that up even in, you know, late March or something, depending on the weather, and, you know, see how things go. So.
Okay. So just one other question. Jake, do you have any contracts with any of those 19 homes that are going to be connected to the new pressure to replace their service line?
No. And here's why. The emails have been coming to me to go and inspect their line. I have no authority in Idlewild to go in and say your line's bad.
Yeah.
So I have been passing them along to Ian and back to the board saying, somebody either from the board or Ian needs to go in and say, you need to change your line.
Yeah.
I think I've talked to every single one that called or wrote in or whatever. I don't want them to be in the exact same position as Jake because it is different. But obviously we don't, if I went in on any of them, I'm not going to take the responsibility of telling you not to do it. And then having something go wrong, and that's exactly what I've told people, is look, you know, I can tell you what your pressure increase is going to be. You're going to have, you know, 45 PSI more than you've had ever. You know, you're currently at 20, and so you'll be at 65, and you guys can take that chance and, you know, see what happens. And most people, when they're looking at their house 350 feet off the side of the road, or even 100 feet off the side of the road, you know, you're going, well, let's see how it goes, and then we'll go from there, you know, because the cost is on them, and inevitably it's there'll be some, I mean, if he had gotten six or eight of them, there could have been some savings involved in it, but realistically, if one or two people decide to do it, it's the exact same price whether you do, you know what I mean? It's not going to change things drastically, so it doesn't,
it doesn't...
I mean, what's the recommendation? Should they contact their plumber? Because most homeowners have no concept of what you're even referring
like
to.
Like I said, I walk them through it. I don't just try to, you know, get them confused by it. But it's really, at the end of the day, it's just a decision of do you want to spend money now or do you want to set yourself some money later? There's really no savings. Now, obviously, they're concerned. If we put this off through the winter, now, that was the biggest thing, is that we're going to connect to these lines, and then it's going to be February, and the ground is going to be full frost, and then they're going to have a break in the line, and all of a sudden, this what would have been a $3,000 service line is a $6,000 service line. Mm-hmm. That's with what we're talking about with the put-off. Now, if it breaks in April, you know, we connect them, and they have a pop in the line. That makes virtually no difference at all. The cost of doing the digging is the exact same.
I think most people, and I would be in the same boat, is, all right, is it $100 a foot? Is it $1,000 a foot? If we had some...
There's no way you can do it because every property is different with retaining walls and
pavement,
material and
landscaping
and ledge and, you know, I mean, there's just no way you can give a... I mean, you could say that it's usually about $2,000 to $2,500 for a standard run, right? I mean, but it goes up from there. You know, next thing you know, you're pulling out nothing but boulders and the guys have to... all four rocks of boulders and bring in material another 2 days on the job, so now it's a $4,000 job.
Hopefully if it's an existing water line and it hasn't frozen, that it's at an acceptable depth, so you're not creating a new trench, you're just following the old path that's already been excavated at least once. But
the only service that we came across that was, in my opinion, too shallow, which was about...
Oh, no kidding.
What? Was the one where the PRV pit is, which was not...
Yeah.
It's just ran to a curb stop, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And it was there. Yeah. I mean, it was literally in the middle of the road that deep.
Right.
I thought it was an irrigation.
From the main or beyond the curb stop?
The
service link.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's going to go away, though.
That's gone.
Right, okay.
We actually, during the project, I cut it back to the main.
And then,
just capped it because I thought that it just went to the curb stop. I think you and I talked.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. That
is that the lot that the trailer is on?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Is that that property?
That is.
Okay.
That's in the process of
being
sold
this week.
This week. I got a call yesterday.
So they won't have water?
It's only a lot. It's not
only a lot, but they hooked up years ago, and they've been paying a water bill every year.
Yeah.
So now they'll have to re-hook up?
I don't know what the new homeowners are expecting, but I know it's being... I got a call from the title company yesterday that the closing, if everything goes through, will be... on Friday.
What about that house at the top that's being built, right up by
that's,
the
pump? That's another whole conversation.
But if we wait till the spring, we'll
come back to that.
I think that we're not going to decide based on that.
Okay, no.
So I'll make a motion, if you don't mind.
Okay.
I'll make a motion that...
make a short motion.
Yeah.
Okay.
That we suspend the contract... Is that the right word? Suspend it.
We
go into winter shutdown. I want to use the terminology that's in the contract. We go into winter shutdown and resume when weather permits.
And the parts are idle.
Yeah.
Because if the parts are idle June for some reason, we don't want to start it up again until the parts are here.
Okay. So the motion is to go into winter shutdown until weather permits and the parts are in. Second?
I'll second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye. Yes.
Aye.
Okay.
Okay.
Take a step back for a second, so everybody knows. That same house that we were just talking about, I have a new service line
The Reinhardt one or the...
The
one that the trailer is on.
I have a new service off the existing, off the new main.
Off the new main,
terminated on their property.
Yeah.
To the curb stop.
Because Jay and I had spoken, and he had explained to me that they had been paying a water bill, so they deserve water. Mm. So we've left that there for them.
Okay.
So,
I have to go get water.
Okay.
Timing wise, they will have water.
Okay.
All right, so we have that motion made, and that was a 3-0 vote.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now on that same piece of property.
Yes.
I think we determined that they did apply for a driveway permit.
They have one. Yes.
What are you talking about now?
This is where the vault is.
Exactly.
Fourteen. So the property owner apparently was gung ho because he did, get the water hook up, and he did apply for a driveway permit. And I haven't seen it, but it was mentioned that the PRV pit got moved from one side of the street to the other.
Correct.
And it's kind of located now in his driveway.
ish.
Below us driver, but yeah, that's close.
We're talking about 14 person stock. Okay. So there is a driveway permit that was approved. Let me.
You might not have even seen this folder yet, Jay.
No, I have. I looked at it this morning.
You did, okay.
So he got a driveway permit on 4/22/1987.
He's had water hooked up since when?
Yeah, that was for $10.
Yeah.
And the water hookup was paid, and that was $1,000.
Wow. Back on when was the water hookup paid?
Yeah.
Carbon.
Yeah.
So he has here the driveway permit. And I'm just going to see if there's any description of actually where it is on the road. And there is not. It is to be 50 feet long. It talks about the width of the driveway. So there's no, that I can tell.
There's no map or?
There's no map or location as to where it's to intersect with the road, but it's just the requirements of how wide it can be, whether a culvert has to be in place, and there is a culvert required. So
there isn't one there. There's no driveway culvert.
So what's the issue we're trying to deal with?
Well, the issue is there's a rough driveway there,
yeah,
and now there's a PRV pit there with a lid, which is, if this is the guy's approved driveway, that PRV pit cover could potentially be in the way of plowing and access to the driveway.
Okay.
So, if the driveway permit doesn't specify it's here and here, and you can move it over 10 feet,
yeah,
we'll be okay.
There's no issue with driving over the tank, plowing over the tank.
Okay.
Doing it. It's H20 loaded.
Okay.
Okay. So it's below grade.
Below grade. Oh, it's going to be below.
It's on our property, right? So if he paves in his driveway, say he were to put it there and he paves it, he can't pave over the.
No, he would.
Is it on our property or is it on his property?
It'd be on our property.
Yeah, right away or on our property?
Yeah. No, on our property.
Okay, so it's within the 40 feet. Okay.
Okay.
Oh, okay. All right.
If he were to say, "I want my driveway where I said I was going, or I want it there, and I want to pave it," he just can't pave over this thing, and it's on our property anyway. So.
You're
saying
it's okay for him to drive over.
We could bring the cover to the surface.
Okay.
Literally, if they
want to
pave that,
put a manhole cover right on level. Okay, all right.
So I mean, what we need to do is go to this guy and say, we put this PRV pit here. Ideally, you should move your driveway over here if you're going to build.
Yeah.
And that would be the ideal situation. If not, you're going to have to drive over this. I mean, you said there's nothing to drive over. It's just underground.
Yeah, and that's
okay.
Very strong H20. Very.
I mean, you know,
cover
there. The day of driving over the one on Yorkfront with no idea that they're doing.
Yeah,
that.
That's right.
So I don't.
Yeah,
think
my understanding was from the conversation that it was right in the middle of the guy's driveway, and he's going to have to go around it.
No.
That there was.
So is this the one that is just being sold now?
Yes.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's a new, going to be a new
okay,
homeowner.
So I think when it's sold, we should contact the new homeowner and just explain what's going on and say you should be way aware of this. Ideally, we'd like you to put the driveway over here, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you are there's some reason you need to.
Now, my question, that driveway was approved but never put in.
Well, it's
back in 87.
It's kind of.
Oh, okay.
It's just like a
dirt. All right.
It looks like a dirt.
No knowledge.
You cut the trees down, it's
okay.
Like just a wide, woodsy path.
I don't think we need to notify. We should make note to notify the new owner when they're in and have a conversation with them. Somebody.
Okay.
Or, you know, just notify them and just say if you're going to. Yeah, I don't know. Do we even notify them? I mean, I don't.
Yeah.
We have a scale drawing coming out right here.
Yeah, this is
I'm
going to
teach you how good I am.
This is essentially what we have.
I mean, if somebody's buying a property, they're probably going to build on it.
Well,
that given what's going on right now.
So there's their existing driveway.
Okay, so this is Briston Star.
That's Briston Star. Yeah, this is actually not the scale. I'm sorry. This is Edelboden. It goes that way. And we're actually on the low side of this driveway. In the flat area, which was like an extension that I'm assuming Idlewise probably made at some point. we just kind of pushed the dirt down over.
Okay.
And his driveway is actually here. So
okay.
His trailer is, like, parked right here. He's got some forms and stuff down here.
Yeah, okay.
So, I mean, it could easily be avoided.
This is Briston's thought.
But here's the thing. So say he decides to leave that, and he decides when he plows, he's going to put all the snow right there. And then for some reason, we got to get into that thing. And you got to dig through a 10-foot pile of snow to get to it. So I think we need to have a conversation with whoever the new owner is. It's there now, right? We're not going to move it now.
Yeah.
No.
And just explain to him where it is, mark it, and then just say, ideally, you should move your driveway.
Yeah.
And if they can't move the driveway, or they insist they're not going to move the driveway because they have a 1987 permit,
right.
Then we'll just explain, this is just your word, this is on our property.
Yeah.
You can't leave snow on top of it. You can't
make
it inaccessible.
Right.
You can't make it inaccessible,
right.
Whatever. Yeah, right. So I don't think it's a big a deal. I mean,
okay.
It doesn't seem, I don't know, you guys, am I misinterpreting this in any way?
No.
I think communicating that to the homeowner, I think they're going to be, you know, agreeable to working with the district, I'm hoping.
So we'll send a letter of communication off regarding to the new homeowner.
Yeah,
property owner.
I won't know until.
So, Jay, you probably would be the better to draft it in a very short, like a two-paragraph letter. We don't...
Only two paragraphs?
We don't need the historic... We don't need the historical.
You all cut off to 50 words, okay?
50 words? That's just the table of contents.
It doesn't matter. Yeah.
Just
a table. We don't know if you need any bibliography.
I get the same flack when I start talking, Jay.
I know. So with regards to noting that, see, the only reason I noticed it, we went through the walkthrough, and the vault was pointed out, and then I went back and I looked at some drawings and saw it actually on the other side of the street.
Yeah.
So I guess my question may be to Brad or Jake. So these changes, will they be carried forward on new drawings that we're going to receive?
Yeah. Chris and I actually made it to put it where it was.
Okay.
Because putting it in the road.
Yeah, we would have cut
the. If you
put
a flat cover.
Yeah.
On a 14-degree slope.
Yeah.
Okay. That was the.
What we made was a speed bump.
Exactly.
So Chris and I had made the decision because the water main actually flip-flops side of the road as well.
Yeah.
So we made the decision to put it in that flat so we can keep the tank flat.
Right.
Because we talked about potentially putting the tank at a 13-degree slope, which obviously didn't make sense. So we ended up putting it there. Because it makes sense.
Okay.
I'm just worried those people are going to come. The people don't know this thing about 40 feet and all that, whatever you say. And they're going to go, oh, let's put some trees in here. Let's put some landscaping in here. And they're going to start digging with their shovels. I don't know that's what I think is more likely. That's why I think we need to notify these people and say, this thing is sitting there. You need to be aware of it. It's on our property, but it's so close to your driveway that, you know. And we maybe put a post there.
Yeah, I was going
to
say,
you normally
obviously, if it's off the road, we could put a couple bollards around it. And
I think we should put something up there.
That would be great for us to find it. I mean, easier.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll always be able to find it. But, I did the Young Proud one in the middle of the road, so we can't. But.
Okay.
I have a couple rocks, if you want.
Yeah. We can find those.
Except that one of those bollards on the peak with the plow. That's
the same thing with people doing landscaping lately around here, and it's amazing. The amount of people and what people are doing. So that's what I'd be more concerned with. He wants to put a light post there. And he has somebody dig it up so we can put a light post in.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got trying to run electricity.
I mean, luckily, even if you hit it with an excavator,
that cover is
bomb-proof.
The bunker's going to win.
Yeah. Okay. But still, just...
But no, we don't want people running into stuff, and I think if we mark it out and you guys told them about it, they just naturally probably try to stay away from it when they're coming in. And,
is it obvious right now where it is? If I walked up there, would I be able to see it?
No.
Very.
Okay. So maybe you at least get an orange cone or something to...
A cone will disappear.
Okay.
My guys will pick it up.
That's where
I stepped. But no, I just have a stake there or something so that if they do come up, they say there's a stake. You know, yeah, that's right where we're going to be if you guys can... If they don't want to, they don't have to. I mean, we just... we are lucky that... I have to access valves all the time in the winter, and I just call on Kelly to, move the... Move
my house would be one of them.
Yeah, move the world for me. He comes and moves the 12-foot snowbank that they've winked up. And we can get, I mean, there's always a way to do it. It's just, obviously...
So, Jay, if you could just draft the letter,
yeah.
And then, even if it's a grade stake there with a pink ribbon on it for now, just so that
they know
where you're referencing.
Yeah, we're taking here, and they're probably going to go, okay, well, you don't care. We'll go down 40.
All right.
I did have one thing to add. This is Brad. The hatch itself is 36 by 36, but the vault is 10 by 6 or 11 by 6. So it'd be good to not only let them know there's a hatch there, but, you know, there's a tank and it's offset on one side. It'd be really nice to not even have the driveway go over any of it. If I know it's H20, but just so he's aware, it's not just the hatch itself, it's the vault underneath, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be a good idea to this.
If you, I mean, they stay away from it. I can almost leave it unburied. That's great. So I'm not taking up a, you know, 9-square-foot area every time I got to get into it. But yeah, it is what it is. You know?
Okay. All right.
So.
Okay. All right. Let's move on to, let's go up the hill to the top of Reinhardt. So coming off the new pipe into the pump house, we have a water line that is going to service number 9 for Reinhardt Place. And so we have, and I'm not sure what the length is, of water main. That then goes over to, was described to me, his curb stop valve and then a service line from the curb stop to his property. So let's talk about the water main. And so is that a 4-inch, 2-inch?
4-inch.
Is this 4?
Yep.
Okay. And do we know how long that water main is? Or?
I'm going to draw a picture, Jay. I'm good at these.
So from the existing water main, you extended, the water main got extended to his curb stop valve at 4 inches?
No.
No, okay.
While he's drawing, obviously, Jay, you keep me into this, right? So mm-hmm. But as far as, you know, we do come back around. I mean, we'll deal with what we got to do with the water line, but are they even approved to be connected to the water main?
We did approve.
You did approve?
Yes.
We did approve, but we
it so actually, I was under the
but we approved.
Didn't have approval to do the water.
No, we approved the homeowner, but he was already connected.
Right. Okay. So I mean, we talked about this, and I understand how it happened because I told him he didn't have approval. But
right.
Now this is kind of new information.
Well, at the time he didn't. He hadn't.
Okay.
He hadn't.
No, I understand that. It doesn't change anything as far as how this line went in. Because what happened is the homeowner was under the impression he had approval, which I didn't think he did, but it doesn't matter. Jake's guys were up there working, and you understand that these guys work on a lot of different systems, a lot of systems have different rules, right? Well, the homeowner just went to the guys and were like, hey, I'm good to go. Can you guys throw a water line in for me? And so they did. And that's how I don't have any, you know, inclination.
And you contracted with him separately then? You charged him?
Yeah, this is a whole different situation.
I understand.
Yeah.
So you sent him up, and he paid for what part of it then? He paid for the part from the curb stop valve to his house?
He paid for the entire connection.
And that's for the ordinance.
Which he should have.
Oh, he should. Okay.
So this got muddy in the beginning. So what I had thought was, in the conversations that Chris and I had, and they were probably premature, what I understood was it was just going to go into the contractors as an additional service line because it was already a line item in the service line. So I had put that in there, and then Chris had called me and said, no, that's not part of it, which makes sense once he explained it to me. And I said, oh, all right. So I went back to the homeowner and said, well, you have to pay for this. The project's not paying for it.
Right.
And that's when...
The payment is not an issue.
No.
Payment's
not an issue. It's just the line. I mean, we've already talked about the line as far as works. There, we'll pull the thing
again,
on.
I'm not an artist.
Not, you know,
so here's the new pump station.
Yeah.
The line comes out of the pump station, and
yeah.
It tees.
Yeah.
Goes down the hill, down Reinhardt, and then comes out, goes to a valve, and ends.
Yeah.
For future extension. This line is saddled over here and goes down around to a curb stop in his driveway.
Right.
So it's kind of like this. Again, not an artist. The road's kind of like this.
Yep.
Something like that. And then your bridle path is
right
here. So that's kind of what we have.
Okay.
Because Chris had brought to my attention that you guys wanted an extension, which was going to the property line. But then he said that we weren't doing an extension to the property line. And he and I talked, and he's like, just saddle it wherever. And he actually talked to Andy, not me. But said, Andy, just saddle it over here.
Okay.
So that's what we had done.
All right.
And in retrospect,
so you saddled.
I should have said, Jay, did he come look at that? Or
so you saddled the 4-inch coming out of the pump house.
Yeah.
And that line is
main,
a 4-inch going
what
to
they
the curb stop.
Okay.
Is that right?
They hooked
no,
up there. And the curb stop.
Oh, it's 1-inch. Oh, you saddled.
So that's
saddled
the length 4-inch.
Okay.
But
what is this dead end? Eventually, this could hook up other houses.
That's a 4-inch.
That's a dead ended 4-inch that will connect to the, you know, if you guys ever decide to go around the circle, because there are other lots around the circle and then down the access road.
Right, but there's no houses there now.
Right.
I actually did this for free because it's not on the plan.
Okay. So that's just, okay.
So
the issue with, and what's the problem with this line to the house? Is it,
I have a number of things that are wrong with the line, but I mean, this is just more of a miscommunication than anything. That's what I think we can bounce around. It's just that the line was installed, and we don't know, you know, I mean, if you guys want to accept where it's saddled, then we'd have to spot dig it and either approve or deny it based on that, or we'd have to just say it's denied, whatever. So we obviously have to see the line and make sure that it's proper, and that's fine. We can work around that. For me,
were there any pictures taken?
I'd have to go back and look. I don't know. I know my guys put water main in every day, and we did all the other projects. They did not cut a corner.
Is the issue that we don't know how deep it is? We don't know if it's there.
Well, I know that
what do we
like Cal, but he's adding
2 feet to the driveway.
Right, on top of what's already been added. So, you know, I mean, my concern level with that isn't so much. We can work around, however, again, if you guys have approved that line and the tap is legal, then we can work around how to get this line approved to the house, right? Or whether we have to, whatever we have to do that or to replace it, you know, we can work around that. So that's concern with the line, right? I mean, you got to put it in. We don't know what's going on, and that's it. Like I said, we can easily figure out how to get up there and take a look and see where we're at with it. Concern for me is what we're doing with that actual water main. I thought that was the, you know, I mean, obviously the line, I'll be whatever. That is what it is. But the actual water main itself is where my concern is with what we're doing with that. We've been talking about it for a while, trying to figure out what are we going to do up there. Because if this is the way this goes, you won't get any other water connections up there. That's it.
Right.
This is the end of it. Because no one else is going to build 600 feet of water main to get to the next lot.
Right.
So, you know, he's approved now. So I don't know that we can extend the water main, you know, on...
At its cost.
So we're kind of stuck. There is no other water main. That's the only place we can go. You know, it's as close to the property line that it can get. We move anywhere... The only other place we have to go is further down Rhinac Place.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we don't have any further to go towards this guy's property line.
Right.
So, you know, we are where we are now. It's either if you've accepted it, and then we're, you know, I don't know where we're at with it. You know, we got to either, now it's just deciding whether or not.
I don't understand what the problem is. I still don't get it. Maybe I don't get it with the map.
I think that, what we were hoping to do is, as each home gets built on that circle, that owner would pay to extend the 4-inch main to the far edge of his property, so the next guy would only be extending it 200 feet.
So we didn't extend it far enough. We stopped, and then we did.
We didn't extend it at all. We just ran like a small line.
We literally put it in a T with a valve so that if and when somebody wanted to go from there, we have to build
those.
Did
they use that other tap, the one?
No, it's only 1 inch.
No.
That's only enough water for one home.
And it only changes by, like,
So the main, which we hope...
this much distance.
Right.
Tell me this again, I'm sorry. What is the main goes where?
So this is the pump house.
Right.
It comes out and it tees outside the pump house.
Right.
And this is exaggerated. This is probably ending, like, right here.
Okay.
This 4-inch line ends right here with
a valve. So that's the main.
That's the main.
Okay.
For a future extension around
this
the circle.
This side, okay.
Okay. And then it obviously goes down Bristol
Stock. And what kind of line is this?
This is a 1-inch poly.
Well, it's not a 4-inch.
No.
The goal, this should have been 4-inch, is that what you're saying? And it should have gone to the edge of his
well,
property?
Well, per our standards, we would have made that a 4-inch, which he started to, and he truncated it.
Right, so, but the 4-inch technically should go down to here.
We just basically took the check, which begins the process.
He wasn't approved to make a connection.
But what was part of the... So say we just leave him.
Right.
It's done, and he's got his water.
Yeah.
We still need to eventually get water for the rest of this area. So we really need this extended down to here. Is that part of our contract?
No.
This actually wasn't even part of the contract. This
right.
was actually a 90 per the plan.
I'm not sure why we're any worse off than we would have been.
Well, because we should have had this gentleman pay to have the main extended
yes.
to...
From
the edge of his property.
Oh, so
when so
he
the next guy
can't be used for anybody else.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
So the thing is, what I would say, then the next person that comes along who wants to build it could be anywhere here.
Right.
Would have to pay to extend the main from here to the first lot.
Correct.
So and this guy's a double lot, so you've got hundreds of feet.
Yeah, yeah,
hundreds
the
of feet.
The concern is that we're not going to get another.
And the ledge is from here.
the ledge is all the way out.
So
this guy basically said, yes, the easy little hookup, we'll just throw this 1-inch in off the pump house.
I can honestly tell you the guy did not think he was doing anything.
Yeah,
I understand nobody intentionally did it wrong. I guess the question is that it seemed like, well, the house is right there, the pump house is here.
Let's just
give him water.
Right, without thinking about the 4-inch main going down. Because you, and
right.
Jay, you said, well, the odds of anybody building out there, it's all forested and ledge.
Yeah.
But are they owned by property owners, or are they owned by the district?
Privately owned. Yeah.
Okay, so privately owned. So somebody bought those lots with the intention of buying it, not keeping it as green space.
But there's a couple of problems here, and this doesn't relate to anything. So the actual road.
Yeah, that's the other question.
surveyed road does not. There is no existing road that follows a survey.
There's nothing there.
It's all forest. There is a loop that you can drive around at the very top.
There is?
Oh, yeah. Mm. And we call that a Class 6 road. It's not the road. It's actually going across the village district property because it was easier to cut the trees down in that area than actually staying on the road.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about if you were to develop any further of those lots that are around the actual road, surveyed road, then you're talking about unearthing boulders that you've already unearthed that have never, the road's never been there. It was never constructed where it's supposed to be. So
it's not even taking a Class 6 and making a Class 5.
Right,
it's
right.
Like a whole brand new.
It's in the wrong place, right?
Yeah.
The road has always been incorrectly placed.
So if a private lot owner on the continuation of those lots wanted to actually build on their property and develop and bring that road up to spec, or find the road, bring it up to specifications, cost them more than the house.
Not to mention putting water in it.
Yeah.
And the water would probably be another $40,000 or $50,000.
So what happened was this gentleman had inquired about hooking up to the water system back in the spring. Never really did anything about it. Then when he did have his cellar hole excavated right down the ledge, he poured his foundation on ledge.
No, this is nine.
Number nine,
okay.
Yeah. And I walked up there one weekend, and I actually saw a pipe coming out of the ground. And I'm like, wait a minute, we don't even have an application from him yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and I'm like, oh, you know. I think I bumped into him one other weekend after that, and I brought it to our attention.
Mm-hmm.
There's a water line in the ground, and we don't even have an application.
I think, So we saw what happened.
Yeah, we knew it happened. I said, you got to get a waterline application in to the office. So he did.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so we can't discuss anything about approving or disapproving until we actually get
his
application.
Right.
And now that starts the process of where you become involved.
Right. And that's why I wasn't involved, right?
Right, exactly.
Happen,
at the time.
And
right.
I was told that it's approved.
Yeah.
So now, but we did approve it.
Eventually,
So now it's been approved. There's something in there. It does need to be inspected.
Right.
So it needs to be dug up and inspected at their cost. It's not the district's problem
now.
Right.
So I don't know how you feel about what we know as far as the laying of that 1-inch line on the under the Class 6 road and then eventually to the curb stop and then eventually onto his property. Those both need to be inspected as separate entities.
Yes.
And so I'm going to advocate that we see the pipe.
Yeah.
We physically see it and touch it.
Let me ask a question. What's the cost differential to fix it? Like, say right now, if you're going to dig it up to inspect it and you dig it up, changing it to a main.
Yeah.
Oh. $50,000.
Oh.
Yeah,
we're just going to have a different ball of wax.
If you had originally done it the way it should have been done, and you would have said to that guy, this is what it's going to cost.
He probably wouldn't have built.
Right.
He wouldn't have built, or he would have... Well.
You would have probably built
well.
But you did not build it well.
And to give him, it's kind of, it's not his fault, it's not our fault, it's just a set of circumstances that happened.
Yeah.
So the next person that comes has the choice of sending the main, and it could cost them $50,000, or digging a well.
This is a Class 6 road, per the ordinance. We simply have, for whatever reason, it doesn't have to be any reason, we can reject the application because they are on a Class 6 road. Even if there's a water line or a pump house right near them, we can reject it. And so in this case, he's close enough to the pump house. His property line basically almost touched the new main coming up the bridle path. You know, we're not going
to
be...
That was the other thing you mentioned to me, and that's what I was talking to Jake about. And again, I didn't realize the line had been approved even at this point.
Yeah.
So. I don't know where else, as far as inspecting this line, that's handle that no problem.
Yeah.
And for me, is that line where, is this how we want to do it? because now, again, this is, you've got to consider the precedent moving
versus
forward.
Versus what? Changing the whole thing now is too, I mean...
Right. We are where we're at, but I mean, we've been, this has been a discussion we've had a couple times over, coming up with an actual policy for extending the water main
right.
for every property that it comes up to. So, it's when somebody decides to put in their application and the water main only goes to 50 feet of their property and 100 feet shy of it, are we making them continue it to the dead end, or are we leaving it there and letting them connect? You know, this would be a Viasca situation, or we are actually even short of the property.
Or East Bergamo.
Or East Bergamo.
Yep.
Or these are going to continue to come up,
right.
and I think that what we do now is going to dictate potentially how these other customers expect to be treated as well.
Exactly.
If we don't, and if we don't have this extension in place, if we don't have one rule or another that, hey, as long as you can reach it, we don't care how you can get from A to Z with your one-inch line, if you can make it to the water main, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it you've got to get the water main, whatever that water main may be, 2-inch PVC, 8-inch ductile iron, whatever they happen to have coming up to them.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to go from there to the end of that property line, whether it be 50 feet or 400 feet.
Yeah.
I think it just needs to be a standard that we have so that I know what to tell people, because I don't even know. I mean,
right.
I don't know what – I wouldn't have thought we would have done this water line at all. But it's there now, and, I mean, you know, or we've accepted them now, so it is I think, what it is. But,
yep.
Because, again, like, when we talked to concerns with the bridle path and the
yeah.
– whatever, amongst outside of just the inspection of the line, which that's, again, a very simple hurdle to get over. It's more so about the, for me, more so about what to tell customers in the future.
I think we should talk about that with the water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We knew we had to clarify
yeah,
that. That's something that's on our...
I think for right now, we have to decide, what are we requiring for this situation?
Yeah.
Are we requiring just that now it has to be dug up and inspected?
Yeah, we have to have...
But it won't be the whole
our,
thing. It'd be kind of spot checking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our water operator will be tasked, if you don't mind, to inspect and either approve, reject, or modify,
yep.
one, the water main, and...
well, not the water main.
Well, the service...
The service link.
The service link
yeah.
to the service line.
Yeah, okay.
From the curb...
From
the water main
the pump
to the curb stop, and then the curb stop into the person's private property.
District owned and homeowner owned.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
There's two entities there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
And pictures and verification,
yep,
you know,
yep.
whatever you can write.
Yes.
Yep.
So how deep is his service line from the curb stop valve? That's, I think, where the concern was.
We will find that out. I don't know right now, because I haven't
seven.
Seen it. But.
Seven?
Yeah, because they raised the driveway up afterwards.
Yeah.
Okay.
The one thing I did notice, though, is if you go right to his foundation, so he comes in through the sidewall.
Yep.
And so on the outside of the foundation, he's got the soils probably 1 or 2 foot down from the
mm-hmm.
sill. And so just, I mean, visually, when his foundation was open, I was only looking at about 4 feet of cover over where that pipe comes into the foundation. So
yeah, we'll obviously look at
when
that.
When it was on the front, because we moved it. It was on the front, it had
yeah.
shallow coverage.
Yes.
We then moved it around to the back corner.
Well, you did move it to the
we
back?
Did, yeah, because
okay.
we didn't have coverage.
With a slope,
yeah.
you could have more coverage.
Really
okay.
just dug it to the hole.
Yeah.
So everybody knew where it was.
Right.
Knowing that we would have to adjust it.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
and
you did build up the back.
Any incremental cost
yeah.
over what it would have cost if you'd done it right?
Not for you guys.
Not
yeah.
for us.
No.
Okay.
No.
We're
going
to
take care of
it.
Okay.
All right.
Peter's
going
to
like that, though.
All right.
Okay.
I think we're good then.
No, there's nothing to you guys on it. I think that, again, we just want to make sure we in the relatively new future, because we have had a lot of applications in the last few years.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
In 2019, we had one. We probably had six this year.
Anyway, right?
Yeah.
Anyway. So, it all seems to be coming at the tail end. I don't know why. I feel like every single application was at the in a spot where we don't have normal water mains.
Right.
Like
yeah.
either towards a dead end or like the one we did yesterday, whatever it is, it's been these relatively funky situations. So,
so
why? But
so real quick, while I have
yeah.
you here, 13 East Bergamo, which is on a Class 6 road, they also wanted water to be extended. So the question to you, what you just brought up, do we have them extend that water line to the end of their property? Because we haven't really gotten into the discussion about what they're going to put in the ground. They're probably going to do it in the spring.
Right.
So we need to talk about that with that property owner. I think the assumption
they should extend to the middle of their, if they've got 200 feet of frontage.
It's got
to
be the end.
It's got to be the end.
You want to do the end? Okay.
A lot with, like this one on 9 Reinhardt, he's got two lots merged together.
Yeah, true.
So he's got...
Yeah, the next guy shouldn't be penalized because this guy's got
right.
two lots.
You could
yeah.
have a lot
that's
like that.
Yeah.
400 feet, and the next one's 75. That
right.
that 75 foot frontage lot's paying for 250 feet.
Yeah,
right. Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So go to the end of their property
yeah.
line.
I really
okay.
think we just, you know, because we don't need these to connect. Right? I mean, we want more houses to connect, but
right.
at the end of the day, we want to make sure it's fair for future people to decide to connect too.
Mm-hmm.
So the only way to do that, end the lot.
Yeah.
End the lot. Okay.
Pretty,
okay.
And I mean, you know, you can imagine the difference between East Pagano and Nine Rhinite Place. You know, now you get 2-inch PVC and dirt versus,
mm-hmm.
you know, 4-inch ACB through granite. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's,
and just one quick question while both Jake and
yep.
Ian are here. Idlewise Drive, that water hookup number
yep.
8, Barden. Not Barden.
It's 8
Burns.
Burns. 8.
Burns. 8 Idlewise, but he's on
oh,
Burns.
Oh, they're called 8 Idlewise now?
Yeah.
They always were.
Oh, they always were.
It was
that's
never
their official
Burns,
address, yeah.
But that's where they have the
driveway.
Driveway.
Understood. So that went, I don't know, honestly, other than, you know, so that, as far as the line went, great. We actually somehow never came across that 6-inch.
Okay, good.
That's a good thing.
When you're
yeah,
project like that, you're
bad.
Taking pictures of everything?
Yeah, I got pictures from yesterday.
And so how are lending, and then you're sending those to the office?
Yeah.
And
Donna's
I
getting
don't
in the
have,
first.
Yeah, I got
a
lot of money.
And you tell the thieves.
Okay,
this one
we got to start getting these photos.
I mean, this is we go in the, you know,
okay.
this is the same thing as, like, the work orders and everything else. I think we just have to, for me, you know, it's got to be something that's just very continual for me to, you know.
Yeah, but we've always wanted curb stop valve information and location.
I do have all curb stop valve information.
I just think
know,
anything
we'll
like you record yesterday, you should send to the office. It should go into the, you should print it and put it in their file.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, it seems like we don't keep.
Say that again?
Yeah.
You should send whatever you did yesterday, any documentation,
yep.
to the office. They should print it and put it in the file for the home. Don't you think?
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely, because I have here on the agenda, I didn't want to amend it. But
I'm just,
yeah, no, I understand.
Forward, yeah, I
understand.
I think we got to
yeah.
start recording.
No, I mean, this is not something that hasn't been asked of me. You know, you guys, whatever policy we put in place with the pictures and whatnot, it just...
Yeah.
So
do we need Brad? What else do we need Brad for? I hate to keep him tied
yeah,
up here. If he needs
yeah.
to move on, you know.
All that swing tie information, 10 Barden.
Yeah.
I have all of them. They
all
done. Yeah.
The Idlewise Garage.
Yep, they're all done.
Okay, so we need that.
I know. They're actually literally my truck. I'll bring
okay.
them in before I go.
Okay.
And for Jake and Brad and Ian, so when we did the walkthrough, we discussed the field change order that took the water main from one side of Aspen to the other side.
Yep.
And so I believe it was Chris that we had asked at the time, or somebody had said that there were pictures and evidence of how that pipe was laid in the ground on that other side of Aspen. So do we have, we need that because that was a resident that question and I was told that we do have evidence.
Okay.
That was the field change order of moving the pipe, I think, from left side, one side of the road to the other because there would be less ledge to deal with.
I guess that's the punch list items, if anything.
Yeah. Now, I don't know when the homeowner at number 9 expects water, but it's obviously not
yeah,
going to be this
year. Right.
Okay. So we need to notify number 9, no water this year, if he's expecting to get in there this winter.
The construction's been put on winter hold,
yeah.
seasonal hold.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, the other one was just that service line that's kind of in his driveway, and he thought that the plow would be...
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
We went out to yes.
Okay,
all right. And took care of all of the ones that needed to be adjusted. It wasn't just him. It was multiple, I want to say it was like 7 out of the 19.
Okay.
Were you able to address the blow-off valves at the end of each line? Because Kelly was concerned about hitting those with the bling blade.
Yeah, I got to talk to Brad about that because that's technically a change order. We removed the hydrant at the end of Aspen.
Yeah.
Per Kelly's request, and put just a piece of pipe in.
Yeah.
I guess I got to submit a change order for that because we obviously had to redig it.
Yep.
And then at the other end of, what am I drawing a blank? Bristol stuff. We moved the rocks around. I think before winter comes around, and maybe even today, I'll go try to chase down Kelly and make sure he's comfortable with what we have.
Okay.
If not, then we'll adjust it.
Okay.
Whatever he needs to done. So.
All right. All right, that's all I got. Brad, do you have any questions or concerns?
No,
No, I don't. Everything that sounds good to me, so.
Okay. Jake?
Good. The only thing I'd love to throw at you guys, I mean, I don't know if you know my history, but prior to owning my own company and becoming crazy, I worked for a utility for years, and our requirement was to extend the 10 feet beyond the furthest property.
Okay.
Because what we ran into a couple times was the halfway mark, that was what we started with.
Yeah.
Well, halfway mark, guy landscapes his property, we come in, we destroy his property to run the main down, and now it's turned into, you know, heated battles. Even though you're inside the right-of-way of the road,
yeah.
It turns into these heated battles with homeowners. So at that point, we required, another good reason, 10 feet beyond your furthest point.
Okay. Plus 10 feet, okay. I guess, obviously, if there's no buildable lots beyond that, then that would be a separate situation, but...
Yep.
Okay. And then you just put it in a blow-off. Blow-off, yeah.
Okay.
At that 10-foot mark. So then you just have a standardized... I'm just throwing it out
yeah.
there.
No, that's a good that's a good suggestion.
Yeah.
All right.
Good suggestion, for sure.
Jake, you have any questions for us?
No, I mean, I appreciate everybody accommodating the unfortunate schedule. I mean, I wanted to be done with this project
yeah.
2 months ago, but, and trust me, I've tried. we flew through the water and the pump station and the tank. Was
yeah.
possible to order that piece, the transfer switch, from more than one vendor and whoever you get it in first from?
I've tried that.
Oh, okay.
I have called probably 25
oh, okay.
vendors.
Yeah, they all buy. Knowing the electrical industry,
yeah.
they all buy them from Gentran or,
yeah.
you know,
okay. yeah.
Kohler or whatever, and
exactly.
that Siemens, and it's all, they're all on back order.
Okay. Well, don't tell them we stop.
They don't know anything.
So which CED do you typically deal with?
Where's my
Laconia.
Okay.
So,
Mike, just tell Mike Maines that you met Kathy in, up in New Hampshire, because I know
so
him really
Mike
well.
Our electrician, Jeremy Maines.
Yep.
Mike's his dad.
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
Really?
Yep.
So,
yep.
We've got ammunition. Keep hammering on
Mike. Kathy Kozel wants to know where that switch is. So.
Right.
So I used to sell to them. That was my job prior to retiring back in 2018.
Well, maybe you can find it.
Yeah, maybe I could find it.
Come on, get on it.
Another positive point is if this project did get pushed off to this year, you guys would pay probably 25% more. The PVC and plastic pipes prices have gone through the roof.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So we got
Yeah.
I know she can get her deck built.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm building a house at $400 a square foot.
Oh, geez.
Oh.
It might be 100 square feet.
So. All right.
Thanks, everybody.
Jake, thank you for coming in. We appreciate that. And
so we still need Ian because we need his monthly report.
Yep.
But you guys are free to leave. Brad, you're free to leave.
Thank
you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Yep.
Okay.
Right,
take care, Brad.
Bye.
All right. So, Ian.
Hey,
yes.
Hi, bud.
Monthly report.
Yes,
have you been busy?
Very. Yeah, about a month. That's pretty slow. And a lot going on. Obviously, we had Corvo Station finished up at the end of last month, so everything's been great there, operational.
So question on that. So I got the bill from Justin.
Yep.
We did get a bill from Tom from EII.
Okay.
And I do believe you billed us
yep.
everything.
Yep. You got
okay.
the board already.
Okay.
Everything
so that's,
that.
So there's I shouldn't expect any other bills against that. And some of it is done.
Some of it is not 100% done. You're gonna receive additional bills from that.
From you or from Justin?
From probably Tom.
From Tom, okay. Because
yeah.
there was those two meters that were sitting down in the hallway for months
yeah.
that belonged up to Summit, correct?
Yeah, those ended up going into Chicago.
Oh, okay. So now are we buying new? So we have to buy more meters for Summit?
Yes, we're gonna have to buy more meters for Summit.
Okay, so we built those meters to Chicora View, so we got to make sure we reverse that and bill it to Summit.
Okay, well, it's going to be the exact same meters, but they will be. We ran into the exact same thing with this, where the meters were just out forever. So we had decided we were going to take those when they got there. We were just going to
okay.
them up in
Chicora. So just make note: either we wait, and the two meters that come in for Summit, we bill it to Chicora.
Yeah, we had two of the four meters.
Okay.
Billed to you guys.
Okay, just make sure we know that when they come in, even though we're going to bill them to. They're going to go into Summit. We're going to bill it to Chicora. And what was that? They $1,000 a piece?
No, I think probably $2,200.
Is that going to happen this calendar?
$2,200 a piece?
Okay.
For
yeah.
both of them?
No,
I think it was, that was
like a five.
Yeah.
Okay, that's five grand.
Yeah,
no,
I'm
I just.
Not, I'm not
okay, we can
we can
look that up. So Donna, we'll look that up for sure.
Yeah, you got
yeah.
direct bill on that one. That's
yeah,
fine.
Yes,
that,
we did.
That, come
that was Giles.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
We just. You might have that right in front of you.
Nope. I didn't bring that folder.
Oh.
We looked at it yesterday.
Yeah.
It was probably.
So,
$6,000.
Yeah, that sounds.
So where's that money coming from? The warrant article?
Right. It's just that it's both from the warrant article, but we posted the 2 meters that came in to Decora View because that's what they were originally ordered for, but they ended up. No, other way around. They were originally ordered for Summit, and we posted to the Summit warrant article, but they were used in Decora View, so we'll just have to, when the new ones come in, just make sure we post it to the right warrant.
Okay.
We're under budget on both, so we're okay financially.
Sorry, I should have probably put that. Like I said, two of the 4 meters have been built.
So
we get two more that should be, some of them probably going to go up a little bit from what we paid on the last one, just the way it is. And there's still, what happened is when I called Styles for the Shikoro ones, we were out so far, and we got these two here, I'll just take them. We'll get around to Summit when everybody's got time for that one.
So is the pump now fixed at the Summit, the air pump?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. We haven't talked about that. So that new compressor up there.
Yeah.
Everything's been fine. Obviously, our bacteria's been coming back good again. So I have a feeling everything we dealt with that was from that failure.
Yeah.
And that tank is running down further than what it typically does. You know, any change, when you get a coliform, it can be, you know, the slightest change. You get the exposed steel that you haven't had in forever.
Right.
You know, it's... So I imagine that's where we were running into those issues from. So.
All right.
Okay. I'm still trying to. I talked to Norm Garside again about
the building.
Yes. So he's just really busy. I said, look, if you can just give us
everybody
a.
Everybody is. I know.
Mean,
we're not. You know, I wouldn't call it a rush. Like I said, we didn't get bacteria off from the Summit gravity tank. It came from the Summit hydro.
But we still want to get this done.
Of course. No, I said.
The warrant article has to be. If we don't get it complete this calendar year, I have to have a price. In order to carry it forward to next year, because it's already been 2 years.
The installation is part of the warrant article?
There was money approved at the annual meeting for insulating that building.
I didn't know that.
So that's why I want to get, and that's not you, but I mean, he said he was going to touch base with you to see.
I haven't heard from him yet,
okay.
But I mean,
right.
I know everybody's, it's just
yep.
the way it is right now, so I'm not surprised we haven't heard from him.
Okay, which I talked to him. I mean, he did call me back, and so we're just trying to work through the, if I can at least get a price from him, and we can hold it over the funding for next year, so.
Yeah, I mean, it would be huge to get that building tightened up. There's a couple other loose ends up there for him to take a look at.
Yeah, he's looking at it. He said the price we got last year for $4,800, not including the spray foam, he said, I don't know if I can do it for that now because the cost of lumber has gone through the roof.
It really has.
Yep.
Construction, any framing lumber, everything. It's just
So I'm just trying to keep you know, getting some headway with him. So
while we're on Chicora Station, can you take a look at the fill that is covering the tank.
The what?
The fill.
Yep.
Covering the tank on the back of the Chicora. So you'll see the exposed, the tank is exposed to the air.
Okay.
Steel. Just your comment, your opinion, should it be covered?
It's just not, I mean, we have enough water flowing there. It's, I mean.
It'll never get up to the top of the tank, but.
No.
I'm thinking of scale, building, you know.
I mean, yeah. I mean, if you guys want to put fill on top of it, we can get fill on top of it. I can't actually visualize it.
You got to go down the driveway and get to it.
The only way to, and it's a real steep, of course, embankment to get to the top of the tank.
I know it's a rental property, but do you know the people, the owners?
Oh, yeah.
So maybe, you know, have a conversation with them.
Well,
I know.
they already know about it. They look out their window at it.
They would have to see it covered, too.
Oh, yeah.
That's fine. Yeah, so we'll
is that just a Kelly? Is that just a Kelly call?
Yeah, because if you're going to bring dirt up there, you're not going to haul it up by hand. You're going to scoop it, reach, and dump. So we need permission, if that's your suggestion, get in there with a backhoe and just put a couple. I don't even want to say sand. I'd like to have something a little more firm. But,
because
it is eroding, and the area is getting bigger and bigger as it slides.
That would be, you know, obviously that's a good thing to do. It's not going to hurt anything.
It's not going to hurt anything. I don't think one way or the other. I mean, it's, but yeah, we want covered.
Okay. So we'll put that on your plate, Jay.
All right.
Coordinate that with the property owner.
Anyway.
We can get in there and do that.
So again, Ian, as far as you know, swing tie information, all this asset management.
I'll literally bring that in before I head out there.
Because we got
to
put
together
an asset management plan, which may become a warrant article for next year if it requires any money. Because that was the one thing that Rick Skorenka called me about. He said, "You got to get this done."
The mapping.
Yep.
So.
And again, you guys have all the information, so.
Yep. And we do too. I mean, we need the information too.
Well, no, of course.
Yeah.
Not an issue.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
You have anything else for us?
No. I mean, we might look at the end of this month, beginning of next month, leaders.
Yep.
You know, that's really it on the docket. We've gone back and forth with Flushing with the drought, but we've gotten so much rain, I think we're just going to probably knock that out. So it's never hurt. We usually do it twice a year. If we miss one, it's not the end of the world. But so now that everything's kind of gotten wet again, you know, as long as weather holds, so Flushing will take place this month. And that's it. You know, we don't have anything else on the upcoming
When you think you're going to do it, just send a note to the office.
Yeah, we can put
a little note out so people are concerned about the bubbling and the gurgling and that they'll know what's going on.
I mean, that's the other issue with our Flushing is obviously we cause more problems than we fix at times with it. So, I mean, it's been a you know, internal debate whether in my, you know, in my own head how much we want to keep Flushing. And, well, you know, we have such an issue with volume at a lot of the dead ends that some places it's very practical to do. Other places you just feel like you're creating air in the water and, you know, causing more problems than good. But, so we may keep thinking on that one and look at some alternative options to the Flushing schedule we're currently doing twice a year. Because, like I said, I mean, I don't know if I get 25 calls even if we notify.
Oh, my God.
It's pretty severe in some places. We can't keep up the flow in the pipeline. It's not possible. So
right.
We're opening a dead end even at halfway. We don't have enough water to make up for it. We're just putting air in the mains. Obviously, the air causes hammer, and hammer causes breaks. And, you know, so it's just kind of like a...
I had that for like 6 months, and it finally went away. But it was bad, the hammering.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the air was. And that's the problem. We have 17 blow-offs and about 65 dead ends.
Yeah.
So even when you create it, there's just no place to get rid of it.
Yeah.
Trying to flush it to people's faucets and things of that nature, and you see how much fun that can be in today's world of going on to flush faucets. you know, so it's just, you know, it's tough on certain areas. I mean, when we have so much uphill and downhill, no air release. You know, these are things, and then these are all things we should. You know, again, when we're looking at asset management at some point, these are all things we'll talk about and look at and, you know, put on a plan of adding, you know, either looping lines, adding dead. We struggle with that because we have 7 different pressure zones, so at a minimum. Now with 2 new PRVs and those going on eventually, you have 9 or 10 pressure zones. So you can't loop a lot of lines in here. That's why you see all these dead ends at the end of Burn and Hutlow and not connected to idleized drive. You have 2 completely different, you know, this is all over the place in here that you just cannot bring these lines together. So you end up with a tremendous number of dead ends, and when you have a lot of elevation and a lot of dead ends and not large diameter main, you know, this is why we run into these issues. So.
Well, speaking of that, so one of the things I meant to ask Jake and Brad too, but you're probably more involved with it than they are, is have we come up with a plan for Upper Lakeview?
As far as what we're going to look at, I think that's something to talk to Brad again about. So as far as the current situation, I'd say it's essentially off the table, right, as far as putting the single PRV we were talking about up there.
Yeah.
Or PRV pit is not going to happen.
Well, there's one there now.
Well,
so originally we were going to try to physically expand it, but that wasn't going to change anything.
No. So what we're running into for issues is that we found that there's a cross-country line that goes down from Upper Lakeview and feeds down to...
Riggy.
Yeah, down... Right,
down to,
whatever it is, West Regalmo down there.
Yeah.
And I think that ends on this, is where... I can say that used to be West Regalmo, now it's called this, whatever it was. There's more pressure, there's more elevation at that point than there is down at your house. So it's only slightly, but you do actually continue to go downhill. Now, there's not very much flow down at that point, but there is more elevation drop. So now if we try to put 2 PRVs in up top, the original thought was, well, we could set this one at 40 and this one at 80 in order to, you know, feed the, or whatever, you know, 60 and 20, whatever it was. We could have some variance there, but they're essentially the exact same elevation, different by maybe 5 to 7 feet. So installing 2 PRVs doesn't change our endpoint. We're still going to be at 35 PSI at the top of Upper Lakeview, because if we try to go any higher than that, then by the time we drop downhill, you're going to increase to, you know, 130 just like it is now. So it opens up, you know, PRV at the top to feed down towards where you are, and then a PRV way further down Upper Lakeview, a whole secondary pit, maybe down where that cross-country Rigi zone is, down to the base, somewhere in that area, or up top, you know, wherever that, you know, Upper Lakeview continues to go down. That was something Chris was looking into, where the right point would be to install that, and then we'd have a second PRV pit down line substantially further to allow for, say, 60 or 70 PSI at the top of Upper Lakeview, and then as it comes down, drop back down to 30 or so before it goes down the you know, that steep drop down the Reedy cross country zone. So I don't think we're going to avoid being able to put in two PRV pits and regulate the pressure properly to everybody.
The two new ones or the keep the current upper Lakeview one and add a second one?
You know, I'd say for now you can keep the current one, disconnect one of the lines from it and put in a secondary one, you know, further down.
That was sort of the original plan from way back when.
Way back when.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously part of the pit problem with PRV pits is they're just undersized.
Yeah.
You know, stop the work and everything else is part of why we were improving them. But for the time being, you could maintain that one for one of the directions, and if we opted to put in one further down line,
and
solve the pressure problem down there.
Yeah. But that is part of the contract, though.
It is.
It,
there's $25,000 in it for Dawson to do that project.
So that'll be this spring as well?
It'll have to be, yeah.
Yeah.
So that was something. Now, Chris is no longer involved, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So,
well, we could, if we need an engineer, we can either use him or use somebody else, or we can.
For the project, we have to go through
Brad. Brad.
Project,
yeah,
right.
I mean, that makes the most sense anyway.
Okay. And if Brad is unfamiliar, he can always reach out to Chris and
right.
on a
yeah.
consultation.
Okay.
Yeah, hopefully they can,
okay.
they can work
okay.
it out, because that was a conversation between Chris, Jake, and I, and, you know, I actually talked to Rick about that situation at one point a few months ago on a kind of an update, and so I got still in the project, but how we want to go about doing it, we don't want to just do what's in the contract. It doesn't make sense. We have to come up with a secondary plan to fulfill that, and whether that's just the one pit further down and additional piping up at the top or whatever it is, we just have to come up with what our game plan is there. So,
okay.
But there is
money allocated for
yeah.
that specific
oh, yeah.
thing. Plus, there's also, I mean, if the fix has to be expanded or there's going to be more cost because of the way we
yeah.
want to
well,
do
I
it.
I tell you now, we're going to be getting in, like, where that PRV pit currently is. You have plenty of fail. You have area where you can add it to
right.
be able to get your depth. I mean, we got the light borings, which I'm sure you guys have access to,
mm-hmm. yeah.
down along the pipeline on, there was areas that was deeper than we thought, you know, 2 or 3, 4 feet deep even, but it's less. So you hit
yeah.
4 feet here, you go across the road, and it's at 2 feet. I can tell you that,
yeah.
That,
yeah.
that anywhere I've ever dug that main is less than 2 feet deep on it.
Yeah.
So,
but there is still some contingency funds, too, that if we wanted to
yeah.
tap into some of that to do it right.
Okay.
And
okay.
So, but yeah, I mean, that's going to be some cost increase because you're going to have to chisel, blast whatever the ledge out in order to get the pit down. Unless we go down on, if we can get down on that Reedy zone, then we're back into where we can add fill.
Right.
So, speaking
about the water main that you crossed over yesterday.
Yes.
If you remember at last year's annual meeting, there was
mm-hmm.
a discussion about...
I remember last year's annual meeting.
Yeah, a future water main that would be required somewhere down that hot wall parking area. There's no pipe there.
There was a conversation at one point that apparently the grand plan
yeah.
for the system was to bring those dead ends from Vernon Hot Wheel out to Idlewise Drive
okay.
and connection, right? It's not possible because you have the Como zone.
Yep.
Which
yep.
we go through that, there's a PRV there.
Yeah.
The little big bit of 2 inch that comes down, this is still debatable where it comes from. I believe it comes through the little short PRV and comes down. The flow there is pretty bad.
Shore. Okay.
Not from Grand,
oh.
not from Gretchen. So
oh. okay.
it seems impossible to cover Gretchen. You have a 2 inch main going up Gretchen. It's actually, and then it's, you have the 6 inch obviously feeding
yeah.
The stage, and then you have a back feed. That's the 2 inch that feeds most of Gretchen, and then the assumption was that it comes down and it feeds just down to that little block bit of Idlewise Drive, right?
Right.
Where the blow off is and the road garden and all that. Judging off what we get for flow with that blow off, it doesn't seem likely. I would assume we're going through a PRV based off what we're getting for flow at it. So,
yeah.
you know, Winnegon obviously back feeds from the PRV,
yeah.
and whether it dead ends at Winnegon and doesn't keep coming or whether it continues down that. It's just so, there is not a map for it, so we don't know. It's like, find the 2 inch, and there's 2 inch there, but it's
okay.
could be from anywhere. So,
that was a conversation
yeah.
about why we shouldn't pave Idlewise Drive.
Exactly.
Because that
yeah,
project was
exactly.
imminent, which...
It's not.
Okay.
You're never going to connect any of those lines.
That's what we want to know. So.
Okay.
I think another point of conversation, which granted, I guess now that that house is built, we're probably not going to run into it again, with that 6 inch main. But the dedicated 6-inch main is not a dedicated 6-inch main. You have 20 or 25 taps off that water main. So,
what?
Really? There's a tremendous number of taps off that 6-inch water main.
The one going from the DPW well up to the Jungfrau station.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it travels all the way down Burn and it travels up Gretchen, and people tapped off it for years.
Well, I thought there was a separate, there's a dedicated 6-inch.
It was supposed to be.
Yeah.
whoever did it, you know, whoever was making these casts that came across the first water. Oh, it says it was supposed to be 2 inches, but it's 6 inches. And, I mean, because believe me, without having, you know, intimate knowledge of it, after years of it, there's a map that says there's 3-inch water main, you come across 8-inch, you know, out on God knows where.
Yeah.
It happens all the time. You know, the map says it's supposed to be this,
yeah,
and it ends up being something completely different, so you don't know any better. You just, oh, okay, came across 6-inch, let me tap
it.
What you're going to find is a lot of the houses traveling down Gretchen on the left-hand side of the road are tapped to that 6-inch main.
So
we found that out a couple years ago when we shut down Young Proud Station for the rebuild,
yeah,
and a ton of houses lost water that we didn't expect to lose water because we were only isolating that 6-inch.
So they
all
have
of a sudden, you guys were getting calls at the office that we had this house and this house and this house and this house and this house out of water. I don't know, but if I said 20, maybe 10, maybe 15, I can't remember how many it were, but we absolutely have tapped off that water main.
So there's plenty of capacity for those homes. If
absolutely.
You,
it's being fed off your tank the exact same way the 2 inches.
But if everybody
90 PSI, I mean, it's actually one of the better water mains you have anyway, on the lower.
But if everybody turned on their faucets, those 16 ohms at the same time on a 2-inch line, you'd see a significant drop.
I don't think anyone deals with drop on that unless I'm flushing it and getting it away from them. But it's just not enough homes. 2-inch main can feed a good number of homes. But you do have that 6-inch available. But I say available, I know I've never tapped it. But I can tell you it's tapped. There's taps on that water main.
They put the new well at the DPW, and they had a 6-inch line that went all the way up to almost to Reinhardt.
Right.
It starts at Young Farm. That's what feeds at the top there. There was no map of it.
Oh.
If you want to go one step further on this one, too, just really kind of make you chuckle, that 6-inch goes into Young Farm. The 2-inch doesn't. So the 2-inch that feeds all down there is actually tapped off at 6-inch.
Oh.
So, I mean,
kind of a. All
right.
We gotta get going.
So,
okay.
Like I said, you want to bring it to a step further. But so anyway, I'd say in the future.
Yeah. All this, but I don't think we have to go.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Going in, I know I asked you before, but if you have 5 minutes, I have.
Pop in and go through the invoices.
I just want to make sure they're all being put to the right. Because I don't understand.
I mean, I called North Conway about some of the things you guys were asking me about, and we're going back like 6 months. They billed like 6 months after I picked up the material.
Yeah.
So when I wasn't.
But when you pick up supplements, they're going to bill us for. Do you give us a record of that somehow?
We never did. I just have parts as we were going. I mean, part of it, we actually have three of those
couples
you were asking about in the shed. And it's like you buy them for the job, you don't end up using them.
It's not a lot of money. Deal.
No,
like
it's
if you
just
buy something that's over, a certain amount, 100, 200, whatever the amount is, it would be good for us to know there's an outstanding bill for, because what happens at the end of the year is
I understand.
So,
most suppliers don't, I mean, it's not Norcom is necessarily a supplier, right? Usually it's like one, but
it's usually
a monthly thing. You
just
gotta
send us a text
month.
Or send us an email.
He's right on the slip, but it's
right,
what?
No,
Kelly doesn't get slips.
But when you order it, like
but
the PO
I have to make sure they put the job name. They said, "Oh, we're gonna,
they don't give you
yeah.
Some when you buy something, when you pick up something, they don't give you any kind of receipt for it. They just
not from
North
Conway,
I guess my question is, could you just when you're standing there, make a note on your notebook?
Yeah, absolutely.
And text it to somebody
absolutely.
Or email it.
Yeah.
Because you forget, you do, you're right, 6 months later, you're like,
you're running around a lot of times,
but
how
we know it's coming, and then we don't have to bug you for it,
and
then we can just check again.
Yeah, that's it, just so that I can put it to the right account.
Just so you guys know, I ordered materials from them yesterday. So
okay.
But what for?
For the hookup, though, right?
For the eight
idols.
You're standing there, grab a photo of it, and email it from your phone right at that minute, and say, I just picked this up at
Conway. It's also simple,
I know. Sometimes you send your guy in to get it too. So,
we can keep a list of the things that we know they're built
for. For the most part, the people, Webb, Smithfield, they're going to give you the.
Now, I got Webb, but I just have bills that
I
want to.
Okay,
like, just whenever you have free.
When you get stuff at North, it's their water precinct. They're not really
not
an SWS.
Well,
then
my point is to just take a picture of it. From your phone, email it at that very instant to the office and say, pick this up at North Conway today.
And materials will be coming
in. It doesn't even matter if we know what it costs. Then we have a picture of it.
Right.
So then an invoice comes 6 months later, we know, this is
what we picked
up.
Because I had no clue.
I know,
even
you're asking
North Conway.
It's totally fair, because you're asking me, and I'm looking back. I'm like, Yeah, 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 ye over the only one that might not be in there is the DPW garage. That was actually done at the same time we did it because of the whole hold up on it and stuff.
Right.
So that is in there. I got the email, so I'll just popped over to it.
Okay.
Yeah, go back 6 months.
Okay.
But every other one, the cards are all in there. The cards are actually probably in the actual card stock. So.
Okay.
But I'll
put them in our folder.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
It's like an index card that shows the corners of buildings and the distances so that you can
triangulate. Yeah, all I do is if you want to just make a copy of it for your book record, and then I'll just take them back and put them in the card stock.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Paul, Kathy, anything else?
Nope.
Okay. Thank
you.
Right.
I'll be right back.
Thank you.
Yeah, don't drive off.
I'm all good.
Okay.
Focus on it. You got it. You're back.
So we're back to the public list of ordinances and policies.
I know. We knew this was going to be a long conversation with us.
I mean, I got I want to get this health plan thing.
Can we push this off to next week? Well, that's going to give you 30 days.
We can't. So basically,
30 days will be the 10th.
Well, why? I guess my question is why are we driving to have this have to get done this year? Does it have to get done like?
If we have to change an ordinance, it has to be done.
Yeah.
No, in not in 2020 or not.
It doesn't have to be done December 10th.
Why are we driving
no.
to get this done now? Like, what's
that's what they.
Well, I think we realize that there are some things that are certainly missing from the ordinances,
okay.
and now that they're fresh in our mind, let's just get them done.
Well, I think the parking lot thing was an issue for sure.
Yeah.
To make sure that the cars are registered and put the limit of 30 days and all that.
I think we need to have that done by next summer. Do we need?
Right, and then the water line extension should be an ordinance.
Well, we should have had, and I noticed this when I was going through the policies, we don't have the dam management policy listed in the website. I don't think it was ever
approved. Oh, we've had 14 versions of it approved.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I don't know, because the last one that's there mentions
but that's
nothing.
A policy, not an ordinance.
Yeah.
Okay, so in ordinances, one of the things that we, and again, nothing's going to happen over the winter, but if somebody gives us $8,000, and we spend $1,200 to figure out that there's too much ledge there, there's no water main, we end up giving them this full $8,000
right.
back. And we felt that, you know what, we incurred these costs that we should deduct, up. And Paul made a good suggestion, not the cost of the investigation,
but
up to $1,500.
Yeah, so that's a water system, so I agree with that.
So that was that's an ordinance. So that's a water system ordinance.
Yeah.
Where is that listed on this page? I'm sorry, I'm going down.
It's water hookup consistency.
I wrote it in because I knew that's something we wanted to do.
Water system hookup?
Well, it's all that. Water bill ordinance, shut off mouth. That's all part of the same ordinance.
Well, I think what we should do is go through here. I don't want to try and get this December 10th thing done. What I would like to do is, why don't we go through this list, address which issues.
Yep.
Somebody takes responsibility for redrafting it. We come back here with it all redrafted.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know, because we're just going to be talking in circles,
all right.
aren't we?
There's only a few things that are actually ordinances.
Right.
Okay.
Now, the little library is not an ordinance, memorial is not an ordinance, the mailboxes are not an ordinance.
Let's start at the snow plowing. What has to be done in snow plowing?
We just want to change the policy.
Not to push snow
out.
Policy. So we can do that anytime.
Right.
Okay, so we can, so that's, okay.
Does somebody want to take that now because it's the holidays? I mean, because it's snow season?
Yeah.
So basically you're changing the policy.
Yep.
So you'll come back with a draft of that. Water hookup consistency needed for dates on ordinance.
Okay. Okay. And all that was one said September, one said October.
Okay, so
right.
Who wants to do that?
So on the hookup, one document said they had to have it by September, the other said October.
So we just have to fix it up.
August and
does
September.
That require
right. So make it
meeting?
Make them September.
Yeah.
Or make them August.
It.
So are we changing the ordinance or the application?
It's an application.
We don't need to have a meeting.
Correct.
To have it. So
okay.
Donna is
right.
going to change the application.
Should,
okay. What's
so
the next
should
one?
The but what are we changing it to? The
whatever's on the ordinance. That way you don't have to change the ordinance.
Right.
Okay,
so the ordinance says
September.
Okay.
And the application said August, I believe. So whatever's on the ordinance.
Okay.
Because that's what that was approved.
So you're
going to
check those against each other and change the application so it's correct.
Right, the application to match the ordinance.
Water bill ordinance is shut off amounts from 50 to 65.
Yeah, why is that there?
Because Ian's hourly charge
went to 65.
So this is an ordinance change.
Yeah.
So I'll take this one. I'll change that. I'll draft it.
Okay.
Road culvert procedures.
I don't know what that one's about. That's not an ordinance.
I don't know if that was just, you know, clarifying that.
That's for charging the people, I believe.
Right. That, it doesn't really say in there that we will bill you for
that's
this.
That's a policy. I'll take that.
Okay, policy. Okay. Okay.
Little library. Do we want to do anything with the Little Library Memorial? I personally just want to let this go.
I do, too. I do, too.
Oh.
I would just...
All right, take copies and give these back to you?
Yes, please.
Okay,
oh,
my friend.
Yay!
All
right, yay!
All right, thank you.
All right.
You guys all set?
Yeah.
We're all set. Ian, thank you.
Have a great day.
So, yep.
We're not going to have a memorial policy. And, or...
We'll discuss, okay.
So we've
and
had
we
residents ask for it.
Nobody asked for it.
Gloria asked for the memorial.
No. She said she
Gloria.
Wanted to know what was going on. I don't think she ever...
Oh, no.
She wanted
a lot of people. Don't... Come on. Those meetings are pretty heated.
No, that people had opinions, but I don't think that there's any...
They said, what's the policy?
We don't have a policy.
That's right.
The policy is we can make a decision.
No, the policy is anybody can put a memorial up. Because that's what happened.
Well, that was one thing that happened. That doesn't mean that
it set
going
precedence.
Forward.
It set precedence.
So you want to go back and undo that?
I think that's what the people want to know. Do we want to allow that?
Anyway, it's not an ordinance. It would be a policy.
Yeah.
Okay. So as far as ordinances go, it would. It's not.
So does somebody want to? I'll write a policy.
Okay.
I'll write a policy about it.
They want to know what.
From this day forward, this will be the policy. I'll write it.
Yeah. They want to know what criteria.
And to adopt the policy, we just have to vote on it, and then we post it, right? We don't have to have a meeting.
Correct. It doesn't have to be an ordinance. It doesn't have to go before the public, because it's not an ordinance.
No, but I would actually invite Gloria, because she was the one who said she wants to have a meeting on this.
Okay. I'll draft the policy. We'll call her, or we'll put it in a newsletter that we're going to discuss.
Yeah, definitely.
So we're writing a policy for one homeowner.
No, there were a lot of people that spoke about it. Mike Smith.
They spoke about it, but they didn't.
The only thing that came into the office regarding memorials was from Gloria.
Gloria,
yeah.
She sent.
I will draft the policy.
Okay.
Mailbox. Once I have that drafted, I'll do this.
Okay. The mailbox thing. Stacy, the postmaster, wants to be part of it.
But is it a policy or an ordinance?
It's a warrant article.
It's nothing.
Nothing really.
So it's not a policy. It's just whether or not we're going
to
be.
So that would be.
Let's table this until we get to
the
warrant article.
Did she give the keys, by the way?
No.
Okay.
Driveway permit for operation.
So that's going to
happen. Yeah, that's a merge of forms.
Yeah.
So that's already being done.
So Donna's doing that, right?
So
the driveway permit that Kelly signs off that he's giving him the permit for construction, then there should be another line attached to it.
Yeah, attached to it. It was a two-pager. It's part of the application so that when you get it, there's two pages.
Yes, and that's on the website that comes out, but nobody after the fact signs it off. So we
need
something.
Kelly needs to sign it. That's why.
Yeah.
Not the homeowner. When the homeowner should notify.
Yes, the homeowner. Something has to be put into the application that the homeowner has to.
Yeah, I'll take this because I know how to.
Okay.
I think the form should be merged because all you're doing is you're having another line with a date of Kelly's approval. That's all it is.
There should be something on there that says please notify us when you're done. Like when I'm done with my construction, I call.
Yeah. Down hall.
Comes and inspects it, or I send the photos, and then he writes back to me and he says, "Thank you, I've closed out your file."
Exactly.
Okay.
It needs to. Like
okay, so we don't need the second sheet. We just need the water.
You need it, but the two forms need to be merged so that...
People need to... Part of it, what's not being done is they're not notifying us that they're done.
Correct.
When they're done, you need to tell Kelly, and then he needs to go sign this final page.
And there needs to be a release mechanism that forces the homeowner to get that final inspection.
Well, there's nothing, even with the stuff here locally, there's nothing.
Yeah, well, there is a $4,000 bond for new driveways, and
so they
won't get it back until you...
Yeah.
But nobody's ever called me on that.
Right.
They just go to their bank and they go...
One person.
I think they tell their bank.
Well, the guy on Little Shore.
Yeah, that's the only one. That's the only person.
So they just go to the bank and say, my driveway is done, and they give them they release the policy?
Yeah.
Roadside trash and free signs.
Yeah, that would then also go under...
You want that on the road ordinance?
No, it's not an ordinance.
That would be a zoning change, and that would be Town of Madison. Let me look into that.
About putting like free merchandise at the end of the driveway.
That is an ordinance from Chris Albert. What is it?
Yeah, so that Chris said he was going to get us that with regards to this extension of the water main. That was all to do with the extension of water mains, how you put a betterment rule in place. And we never did get that from Chris.
Well, betterment would be that everybody in the district should contribute to extending that water main.
Doesn't have to be, we should look at, this is the idea that you have to extend it to 10 feet beyond.
Yes. Yep.
So this needs to change the ordinance. We're done for the season, right?
Yep.
Nobody's going to be doing construction. So we need to get this done before next spring.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But somebody needs to do this. We should come back to that one, or we can do it now. I don't know. Water system hookup. That's the one you just mentioned.
Yep.
Kathy,
yep. Yeah, I'll do that.
Kathy, okay.
I'll do the water hookup.
So in the policies, I think one that...
There's no plumbing again.
Yeah, there's one that's missing, and that was the dam management policy. There's nothing really, I think, that we ever approved.
Let me look back and see if I can find in any of the minutes that we approved the dam management policy.
Policy for pictures of districts projects. Is that what I just said to what's his name? You got to send us pictures. What is the policy for pictures?
I don't understand this. Do you know what this is, Donna?
No, just saying that we should make sure that any contractors doing work in the district give us pictures of what they do. It's kind of part of the work order process.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can't write that as a policy, do we?
It was just something that
we have a lot of policies right now.
I know.
Website
yeah.
That nobody even knows about.
Because you'd have to write this into the contract. A policy a contractor doesn't have to abide to a policy. But if you put it in the contract...
So what you were going to do, Paula, was when we're soliciting bids for projects,
right.
That should be part of the requirement is to provide pictures and documentation or measurements, whatever it is, but to provide either photographic or map.
Do you really want a policy about this, or do you just...
No, but you were going to create that form so that that you said if Kelly's soliciting bids to pave
a
road, he can give the same set of requirements to every single contractor and not be on the phone discussing it. Request for you're going to do a request for proposal for.
It's kind of a request for
quote.
Bids.
And these were for bids that would be expected to be over was it 10,000 or 25,000? Because I think
it was more just
as we get ready for the annual meeting process. It's not like a formal policy or anything. What I thought we should do is we should sit down with Kelly in the next week or so, honestly, soon, next 2 weeks, and say what are the projects we want to do for next year. And then we should say to him, "Art, we need to get numbers." And I don't want him just calling somebody and going, "Give me a number." It should be, because this is what happened a lot in the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When he would get a bid, and then Adam would come in and say, "Oh, I called this guy I know in Connecticut."
Yeah.
That's, we got to stop doing that. The guy, if you're going to call somebody in Connecticut, you send him the same piece of paper that the guy here did.
Right,
yes.
Right.
So I would say I would create that.
Right.
Well, it's not even because barely Kelly has to fill it out.
Yeah.
But
basically, Kelly's not explaining the project to 14 different contractors.
Right. Yeah.
You just send them the piece of paper, bid on this.
So also, it'll be stuff that Kelly will have to fill in.
Yes.
But it will tell Kelly what to fill in. I'm sorry, I didn't do that.
Yeah.
Okay. I will do that.
Yeah. I think, you know, we Donna and I ran into that example when they were talking about what it would cost to bring up part of Granville from a class 6 down to a class 5.
Right.
We got one estimate for $25,000 and one for $1,800.
Yeah.
Obviously, the scope was a little different,
right.
But there was no consistency in
right.
what they were...
I will do this. I'll draft something this week. Water emergency policy for DES. I had said I would do this. I got to look back and see what...
Yeah, that's due in 2021, isn't it?
I'm nervous
March
about
of
doing 20. This.
Really,
the book is sitting... Isn't that the one sitting on the table?
Just needs to be updated.
I pulled it out. I brought it to meetings.
Yep.
Okay.
It's sitting right on the table.
Where I sit.
Now, there is one that you said would require an engineer to be involved.
That is the dam emergency
plan. Okay, that's the dam emergency plan, not the water emergency plan.
Didn't you guys do this? Wasn't something
that
Adam did, the dam emergency
plan? The dam emergency plan has to be done by an engineer, and that would be due in, I believe it was 2021 as well, or 2022.
So do we need that in a warrant article?
That will be a warrant article.
Because that'll take money.
Okay, but that's something either has to go in the operating budget or is it warrant article to take it voted down. We have to submit it. We have to do it.
Then we've got to take it out of the budget somewhere.
Or add to the budget. Under engineering.
Yeah.
Under the engineering.
That could be anywhere from $5,000 to $15,000.
Okay. Damn emergency plan.
That's something we're going to have to get
a
bid on. That's something we're going
to
have to
get
like Chris.
Yeah, and there are firms that DES has that do these plans.
Yeah, I bet Chris could possibly be one of them.
Okay. Copy C from Ken
$1.25.
Yep.
Which policy is that?
It's
91A. So,
well, it's on our website that that's what it would cost.
Yeah.
It says 10 cents a copy?
It says 10, but it's...
Where does it say that? Is it under policy or is it under just... Like, can we just change that right now? Make
I think we should change it right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so I'll make a motion to adjust the fee for copying from 10 cents to 25 cents per page.
I'll second that.
Per page. And what do we, is that a legal... Not legal. It's
yeah,
what do we call? Because a copy of the drawing is far more than...
For 8.5 by 11
per
standard page.
Standard.
Per standard page.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Yes.
So somebody will need to change that on the website today. Where is that on the website?
Is it under,
policy.
Is it under policies?
Probably policies.
Okay, I'll change it.
Okay.
Documentation.
Okay, thank you.
So warrant
class
articles.
6 to class 5 East Bergamo. So this is warrant articles, which we are not doing today.
Okay.
Right.
So I think we've got the ordinance. Everybody come back with following up on their things, the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And once, if we think there's an ordinance change, we'll all agree to it, and then we'll set the meeting date.
Okay.
Why are we worried about this right now?
Okay.
I don't know. That's my
Well, because I guess
right.
we kept,
no,
we kept, saying, next week.
No,
so it's okay. If we pick a date, that would force us to, you know, be ready.
Yeah.
And
there's nothing urgent that's like,
no.
You know, I mean, really, the policy for the snow thing is really the biggest thing right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, yeah. And there is nowhere, Jay, in anything that I found that said it's illegal to plow snow into a municipal roadway. I couldn't find anything. I remember going to the state site, to Madison. I couldn't find anything. So don't waste your time doing it when
yeah.
it's going to put it in.
Yeah.
So whether the state's doing it or not, or Madison, is irrelevant.
No, I know in Massachusetts it's illegal.
I would say it's against our policy for you to blow leaves.
So an ordinance can be enforced with a fine, whereas a policy cannot.
But we could put them both in the road ordinance. Why not?
Actually, that gentleman that works in that office across the hall would know. If somebody pushes a plow load of snow into the middle of the street and drives away, do you think he's not going to get involved?
I'm just he very because it's
yeah, so
impeding traffic. It's a traffic
he's
flow
upon
issue.
Something.
Right, but it's probably hazard. It'll
yeah.
be a road
hazard.
Yeah.
Right. So the snow plowing.
Yeah.
Do you want me to do the plowing? I'll word the plowing one, whether it's an ordinance or a policy.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
and leaf blowing, plowing, and leaf blowing. Because I already wrote something up for the newsletter, so I can just use that same verbiage. Because Kelly's going to start that, I bet you this whole next week of nice weather, he's going to be.
Trash dump says, I'll take that because it's Madison zoning. That's a warrant article for Madison, not Idlewise.
What's the thing I've been reading in New Hampshire?
What did you just say, the dump?
Trash dumpsters. Some folks are thinking about putting them in their properties.
Oh.
For their renters.
Oh, putting a dumpster. Yeah, there's two properties.
Yeah.
We've seen with dumpsters out front.
Yeah.
Okay. So is there an ordinance in Madison that prevents that?
No.
Prohibits it?
No. Not for trash or construction.
Well, yeah.
I thought there was always need, but for household trash, garbage that would possibly invite rodents. Probably.
Well, it's just an eyesore and a hazard. I mean,
yeah, it may become a health issue.
Hey, by the way, here, what if the abutters put the snow or ice on the sidewalk or road in front of their property? This is on the New Hampshire Municipal Board.
What if what? Is
yeah. What if the abutters put the snow or ice on the sidewalk or road on their property? You're talking about
yeah.
abutters.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. Right.
If the abutters cause the problem, the answer may be very different. An abutter might, for instance, blow snow onto the sidewalk or into the road or create runoff from melting snow on a roof that flows onto the sidewalk or road. In that case, the abutter may be held liable for any injuries or damages caused by those conditions. Moreover, the municipality can require the abutter to correct conditions they have caused to the public sidewalk or road or to pay the municipality's cost in doing so. Directing water onto a sidewalk or road may cause ice to form and make the sidewalk or road dangerous for public use. This is considered a violation under the law, and the abutter may be fined by court. Municipalities may notify the abutter of the problem and request them to correct it. If the abutter does not comply, the municipality can correct the situation itself, and the court may order the abutter to repay the municipality cost of the funding situation. There's a bunch of articles about it. I just Googled. My Google
yeah.
is it illegal to push snow into the street
yeah.
in New Hampshire? This is on New Hampshire.
All
roads
in front. Okay.
Winter maintenance of roads and sidewalks.
Okay. All right.
Sorry. So it's hard to find this stuff.
So on.
Because basically, it can form a dangerous.
It could freeze and then
it
become.
It could freeze because
oh, yeah.
there's snow and we've already plowed or.
Or salted.
Packed down or whatever.
And you've just done
so
that.
If it's part of the ordinance, what is the fine for violating the ordinance?
Well, I don't know if you find people, or is it saying...
You have to take them to court.
You have to pay them to... They have to pay for us to remove it.
Or you have to take them to court if there's damages.
Yeah.
So if the DPW had to go out and clear the street again because of what was pushed into it, there'd be a charge by the DPW for 1 hour minimum, plow time, truck time, gas.
Yeah.
You just add it up.
$125?
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, do we want to just put...
If our
DPW has to clear...
And you could cite
and
the law.
And you'd be paying them
time
and a half.
You could cite
because
the law.
Hours, yeah.
They're saying you could just cut and paste it. This is your reference to?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it basically references five different RSAs here.
Okay. That's fine. I couldn't find anything. I was looking under New Hampshire State, and I couldn't find anything, but okay.
I'll send this to you.
Google Queen. I guess.
Mm-hmm.
The Google Queen.
It's always how you word the question, I think, a lot. You have to, it's just stupid.
Okay. All right. We get this all wrapped up.
All right. So do we know when they're gonna send a surveyor out to survey all that area up on top of Reinhardt?
No. Hopefully now that nothing else is gonna change. Well, yeah, they should do it now because there's nothing else gonna change in the ground even in the springtime.
So it's gonna be really muddy in the spring up there. So I just didn't know.
Yeah.
Now, so part of the contract was to survey the construction site, or would we pay extra if we could try and survey that whole loop road?
Yeah.
Or do we even want it? Do we need to even do that?
I don't think we even need to do that.
I mean, I think
because it is somewhere because the property owner's surveyor found it and put it on the property owner's map.
Right.
So it's already been done.
Well, up to the end of his law.
Yeah. But what is existing simply a travel way for vehicles across the district's lot.
Right. But is there any need to survey beyond 9 Reinhardt at this point? Okay.
No.
So, but we should at least know or mark where that real road is.
Yeah, because the property owner's pins is still up there.
Okay.
So it's pretty far into the woods. So it's pretty interesting. So.
Okay.
Okay.
Who would be surveying that?
Jones and Beach.
Oh,
they still owe us the survey
for the rest of the construction site.
Right.
All around the tank and the pump house and where all those water mains are and those valves and the PRV pits and
Donna, can you send Brad an email asking if that is going to be scheduled for this year?
The surveyor for the... What would you call the points that he'd be surveying?
Well, he surveys the pump house, all the gate valves, all of that valve work that's in the ground buried. He's going to find it with a metal detector.
We were asking Brad for when the survey of the project?
The project
will be completed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is he also going to go back and survey that vault that we talked about on Briston Stock and also each curb stop valve?
And where the road changed, where the water line changed. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
So just when the survey of the project will be completed.
Yep, survey and mapping.
Sounds like he's got something going on in his life.
Yeah.
It sounds
like he hasn't just contracted with Chris to finish the project. That was an impression I thought.
Yeah, because Jake said there was something going on there. So,
yeah.
But I don't know.
He did.
I mean, as long as he has the answers to our questions, it's fine. But.
Okay.
All right.
Approval of payroll.
So let's just...
What was the RA filing? I'm looking
at excuse me. Yeah, that's the other thing. Linda, last Thursday, worked with me to make sure all our forms were filed to the DRA. I did that. And then I've contacted...
That's so that we can set the tax rate?
Yes.
Yeah.
But
okay.
In order for that...
It's late.
Yes.
People were complaining about this.
So I'm going to make a motion.
I didn't know...
No, not you. I'm just saying,
But Linda was very good, and we have everything. I've been checking daily.
Okay.
Michelle Clark finally got back to me on Monday.
Are you serious?
Because I had sent an email, as Linda told me to,
and she said she'd take a look at it the afternoon.
Okay.
I did email her Tuesday, because
Tuesday was election day. Yeah,
Wednesday, just to see, and nothing's changed, but she hasn't done it, and I just resent
okay.
it.
All right.
So
with the payroll, can we just approve the total amount?
Yeah, but just going real back, I want to make a motion on this. I want to make a motion that we do not offset the tax rate with unexpended budget funds for this year. We leave it as it is.
No, I think the motion would only be if we were going to.
So what I'm getting at is that...
I mean, you're making a motion for us not to do something.
But
we don't make a motion, we just won't do it.
Yes.
I wanted to be clear, we're not going to lower the tax rate
because
we got lots of money left over. But anyhow, on the payroll...
I think we should have a little discussion on this. I mean, people say, why wouldn't you?
Right.
Because we'd rather leave the funds in the unassigned fund balance.
Because if that's a decision on three of us.
Okay. So we think the unassigned fund balance, because our spending this year is not going to be high, won't be raising
right.
the tax rate over next year.
The unassigned fund balance is somewhat healthy.
Right.
It doesn't hurt to put more money back into it, and that puts the money back into the hands of only the voters.
Right. Okay. So if we want to, if they want to spend that money on something,
okay.
they are the only ones who have the authority
okay.
to spend
okay.
it.
Okay.
All right. So I want to make a motion to approve payroll in the amount of $5,463.04.
I'll second that.
Do I need to write? Okay. I'm going to waive the reading of all the hours. They're pretty standard, as we repeat them every week.
Yes. Okay.
No change. Do I have a second on that?
Yep. Paula, do you second?
Yes. Paula seconds.
And then all in favor?
Aye.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to do the manifest. John. Thank you.
Just a session.
Okay.
When you get into overtime with personal phone, you read them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let Donna finish up, and then if you want to start reading off.
Don't even need to read them off, I don't think. It's $4,900, so.
All right. Make a motion to approve 10 checks in the total amount of $4,960.51.
I'll second that.
Aye.
All in favor?
Okay. The people can request a copy of the manifest.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You'll see it, right? Okay.
Yeah. And I've
do you have a copy of the manifest?
Yeah, and I sent it.
Yeah, we all got
it.
I thought I'd do that so you don't have to waste time.
No, because I always look at the stuff you sent. That is the one thing I think I didn't
have.
Yeah.
I opened
the
agenda. Oh, okay. Oh, this is great.
Okay. All right. And then we'll have to sign the. So we did get a bill yesterday from Just Electric for finishing up the Chicor pump house. $9,936, and I recall last year we were in a similar situation. So if we get a bill, instead of applying it to the warrant article, which we can, we have about $20,000 of funds in the water budget that we could pay this through the water budget, and then the unspent money from the warrant article will go into the unassigned fund.
Why would we do that?
Yeah.
I would pay it from the
warrant article.
That's how it was authorized.
Would there be any benefit, Kathy?
The benefit would be that the balance that we didn't spend would automatically revert to the unassigned fund. If it's in the water budget, I don't think the unspent funds in the water budget can go to unassigned fund because it's not taxpayer money.
Right, because it stays with the water budget.
Right, so if we've got money left over in the water budget...
We can apply it to next year's budget.
Yeah. Well, we can pay bills and let the difference of that money go into the unassigned fund.
Yeah, because of the number of people that have not paid their water bills this year, I'd rather take it from the Warren article because...
I also think just just from an accounting standpoint and a historical record,
okay,
we should keep it in the warrant article.
Yeah.
That's how the people authorized it.
Right.
Okay. So if we do it, so
that we can then later show this is what was budgeted, this is what was spent.
Okay.
You know, I see what you're saying.
And then the other question was, so I don't think we...
Do
I don't know.
Fund balance, the water and roads,
no.
Are they combined?
No.
Are there two separate unassigned fund balances?
Just
or
one.
Are you saying there isn't one for water?
I don't think there is one for water, because the unassigned fund is taxpayer money. Like Jay said, only the taxpayers can vote to spend it.
Right.
This is not taxpayer money in the water fund.
Right.
Water
we
fund.
Don't spend all the water money. We just don't charge. We lower the water budget.
It could be applied to next year's water fee.
Yeah, that's what I was
saying. And then, now the other thing is, if we have money in the... I don't know how this would work. If we have, I don't want to borrow $10,000 from the loan to pay this.
It's already been raised.
No, this was a loan. This was a loan.
Right.
So we had a loan that we can keep drawing off of until the end of this year to pay for these three projects.
Yeah, the loan was for the relining of the tanks, which has been reconverted to servicing the pump stations. And I forget what the interest rate is, but it's pretty low.
But it's still a loan.
Yeah. But that's
so
the intent.
Less, now you're
so there's going to be interest if we. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
I have no problem with it. Cause
okay.
You'd rather have us borrow money.
Yeah.
Versus pay for it with money that we have.
Right. But I'd rather keep money in the buckets that they.
But I think you have to follow what the warrant article says. It was approved to be funded this way, and now you're saying let's fund it. From the operating budget instead of funding.
Well, not the operating budget, the water budget.
The
water
budget.
Right. Yeah.
Versus funding it from the bond. You're changing the intent of the warrant article. That's my only thing.
Right.
It's like I think it's a good idea.
I think Paul is right. You actually can, but I think we forewarned the people that we would be using a loan to pay for this, and no one had objections. So. I think
last year when we looked at it, we had money left over in the water budget, and Steve Buckley said you can use the excess funds to pay down debt.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, so in a sense, you're sort of paying down the debt.
You're prepaying the debt as opposed to borrowing more money.
Yeah.
So we're gonna now because next year we're gonna be paying. This year we're only paying interest only.
How much money is left on that?
I don't know. Dinah said it last week. How much money we had left to borrow against if we needed it. I don't remember what she
last
said.
Week?
Yep. Do you remember her saying that?
I wasn't.
Oh, there's
anyone
here, so.
I apologize.
Can we decide next week?
Yeah.
Well, I guess it says he mailed it on 11/3. Due upon receipt.
But he mailed it to you.
I know.
He
just got it
yesterday.
Yeah.
Got the bill.
We'll pay him next week.
Okay.
Or did you already write a check?
No, we didn't write a check for that.
Well, it's going to get next week anyway.
Okay,
fine.
All right.
We'll decide next week.
So, all right.
So
just think about the
okay.
The implication of it.
Okay.
I just hate to keep borrowing more money, that's all.
I think that's an interesting idea.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
Under admin, it also says overdue water usage bill update. Are we good? Well, that's what we talked about, right?
Yeah.
And then 91A update, is there any?
I'm still plugging away. It's taken me an awful long time, I do have to say.
Okay.
Last Thursday, I spent my whole day working.
Okay.
Right.
You're keeping track of the hours. So.
Basically, like last Thursday.
You have a sheet somewhere that tells how many hours.
I will start one.
I want to know how many hours.
All right.
You got to go back and write that down now.
Okay.
Like at least try and rough in.
All right.
Just on like a printout as request, and then just put a number of hours against it when you're done with each thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's
exact. Just put it on 1.5, 2, whatever it is.
It's just I'm having a lot of trouble because I don't know enough about what he's actually asking for.
Right.
And like things that I sent him, he's saying, no, it's I need to get
something different. That's not exactly what he meant.
So then I end up finding it, but
just
it's...
Just keep track of
okay. Yep. It's not your fault that it takes so long.
No,
so
I know.
Like every 5 minutes. Just, when you're done with it, this took about 2 hours. We need to know at the end. I want to know how many hours that's requested.
Oh, okay. Because it's just like...
And
I
any
said,
other made big ones. The ones
that
come along, you should just keep print them out. I should do them just 20 minutes, half an hour, and just put it in a folder somewhere.
I do have, I do have a folder of everything.
I've got any way that's easy for you to keep track.
Okay.
So we want to be able to tell the voters in March. This is how many hours.
And we're not going to isolate one person.
No,
we're not going to say
overall.
This is what.
No, it's the 91As, because mm-hmm. my problem, too, a lot of this stuff is before 2018, and I have folders.
But we might eventually, if it gets to the point, maybe it'll calm down, maybe it'll get worse. But
yeah,
at some point,
but like some of the stuff may be up at the lodge, and I don't even know where to.
Well, just do your
yeah.
best.
Yeah. Okay.
But did you say that you see you're corresponding with Adam about? Did you really mean this? In other words, some of his.
Well, I full copy you on everything that I send out.
Okay.
I haven't
okay.
seen any him reply to anything. He
yeah.
even but,
yeah, I know there's some, been some documents that don't even exist.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you've been looking for
yeah.
them.
Yeah, I've been. I have to look for them,
yeah.
and I send them that.
Okay.
Like there was a couple of QuickBooks things, the flowers for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ron's mother.
That
yeah.
there's no QuickBooks record of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you send them that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, Paula, do you want to go over your...
well, there's two signatures.
I'm going to
oh,
tell
I'm
you
sorry.
Right now. I'm not signing that letter.
Okay.
Well, I'm not either.
About it, that we already
okay.
sent him an email.
Yeah, and
okay.
I understand that Adam asked that a letter be generated so that we could sign it and give it to him, but he sent that his first initial in an email, so we should reply in an email.
Which
and,
I did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I just literally typed up the same thing that I sent them.
Yeah, don't even, if someone tells you
to
produce
something.
A letter for us to sign, he's looking for.
He's got an email. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
yeah.
He's got something.
You don't work for him.
This is a
you work for us.
Well,
so.
I'm just,
okay.
it's
no, that's
your
fine, that's
decision.
Fine.
I just did it. I already
yeah,
sent
but
the email.
I don't
email.
Want to waste some time doing
yeah.
something about the future.
Yeah.
Okay.
Unless you feel like.
All right.
Yeah.
No, but thank you.
Okay.
I don't know.
The courtesy,
no,
but
no.
I
thought the email was a perfect response.
Yeah. Okay. And this is the other one that came in letter form.
And we were going to, yeah. We
for the engineering. So that's that letter.
And I don't think we're required to send him back what we sent him. We could have sent this as an email.
But generally, if somebody corresponds with you with a letter, the reply should be a letter.
All right.
And
but
if,
it's not legally
no.
required.
No.
Okay.
And then if he sends an email, he's replying to me.
Okay.
Okay.
Even if you request a letter, I don't think it matters. I mean,
I can find out. I
no.
can send
no.
it.
No, don't bother. Don't waste your time.
Well, just for future, just
no.
so it's in on the.
Oh, okay. Whatever you want. I mean, we just
mm-hmm.
got too many things.
Yeah.
So you make a motion to sign the second letter.
So I'm making a motion to sign the second letter to Adam about the reimbursement for his engineer to engineer. The drainage.
Yeah. I'll second that.
That little, number four. Little
and Donna, just one other thing. Last week, I don't know if Lynn filled you in,
oh.
but we had talked to her. She had asked about what she should be spending her time on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And what we sort of talked about with her was that she should be, over time, learning all the things. You guys should be able to back each other
yes,
up.
And that we,
yeah.
this week I
good.
Started
that's
to,
all.
So
yeah.
we're...
Yeah. Yeah.
The
yeah.
same with the DPW guys. They're
yeah, I'm going to be driving that truck.
Yeah, yeah.
No problem. I'm on it.
We'll put
I'm
a phone book on this.
Yeah,
yeah.
Need a 2x4.
Yeah. Well, Oak Ridge is the one that's got that big
Oak Ridge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All
right. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I wanted to do the health thing. So
okay.
I sent this out. I didn't know I brought a copy
that's all right.
late
yep.
last night. This is what I've created. I did read through most of it. There were two documents. About it. I did one for...
Donna.
Yep. There's two documents that came that I went through from Health Trust. We need to, there's some things that need to be signed. Jay, this is addressed to you, so, and I think as a chairman you have to sign these.
Yes.
So one was medical coverage and rates. I think you'll need to sign this at some point.
So we're just, what, accepting...
The coverage, yeah.
Right.
Okay.
I don't even know if it's... Oh, here it is, agreement and authorization. Billing. Then to COBRA. Member group is separately contracted
oh.
with Health Trust for the following billing with respect to any selected medical and dental plan coverage with COBRA.
Let's keep in mind that we have a former employee who is still covered under our Health Trust.
Because of
COBRA.
Yeah.
Is she still taking
yeah,
the COBRA?
For another 6 months.
Okay.
So
right.
this is just, I think this is actually a two-page thing, but you're going to, I don't know if you have a copy of this, you're going to have to sign this and send it back at
okay.
this point.
That looks like the originals.
And
is that the originals? Okay, that's the exact color.
Oh, I printed, I have a color printer.
Okay.
So the one thing we have to tell Health Trust.
The originals never leave the office.
Yeah.
The day that we have to, oh.
No,
no these are, yeah, I have a color printer at home.
Oh,
so we have to basically, it's a cheap printer. We have to, member group transmittal includes monthly contribution rates for all your coverage lines. Please sign and return by December 11th.
Okay.
So basically, what all this is, this guy Pete or somebody.
Chapel.
Mm-hmm. Is going to be in touch with, oh, benefit changes notification deadline is November 25th.
Okay.
Your benefit provider, Pete Chapel, will be contacting you to discuss the renewal and work with you to review available options and assist with any changes. We're not, I believe, considering changes. Please note that requests for any coverage changes must be communicated to us and completed prior to November 25th. So if we're going to change to a different medical plan, I think we would have to tell him by November 25th.
Yep.
And then it says you work, you know, he can do things. But basically, before that, I think what we need to do is actually tell them what we want by December 11th, like who's participating. That's how I read this.
December 11th, yep. Yeah.
But I don't know if you want to reach out to Peter Chapel. I'd be happy to communicate with him, but I think because it's chairman, it's got to go through you. But
okay.
I have to agree with you on that, Paula.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think what
that was, like last year, it was all...
So what I did here, you guys, is I took all these charts. This is the chart that has all the different plans.
Yeah.
Last year, you guys decided to go with this plan.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the plan he sent
us. Is a $3,000 deductible.
Yeah. And so what I did, I basically just created this document for the employees to say, this is the plan that you're on.
Mm-hmm.
This is the name of it. Because if they ever wanted to look this up, they could. It has all the code numbers. And this is the coverage. And all I did was copy that from this chart.
Just took that column out. Okay.
This is what you guys get. This is the basic coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the cost. And then I created this down at the bottom, the cost. We will reimburse deductibles up to $1,500 for each employee and each spouse who participate in the two-person or the family plan. So what we're saying there is if Kelly participates in the family plan, he still gets $3,000 back for two people.
Yeah,
additional family members who participate in the family plan will not receive any deductible reimbursement. The deductible for the family is $9,000 total.
Mm-hmm.
So we will, if he goes with the family plan, he's got a $9,000 deductible, but we will reimburse $3,000 if he's got $15,000 for him and his wife.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The plan cost, basically for two persons, we pay.
Mm-hmm.
The family plan is an additional $5,000. This is, they gave you a monthly cost of, it was a difference of $416.59. I multiplied it. I think it's meant to be $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
Then I divided that by 26 because we pay them twice every 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that came to $192.27. And then I said, this is the opt-in. Check the plan you're taking. Sign and return to the office by the end of November. This is for calendar 20. I will participate as follows. Check it. Sign it.
Yep. Perfect.
The other thing is, I don't know if you were ever given all this stuff about what the coverage was.
Yeah. No. Well, Peter did come in and did, we had Jeff and Kelly both in there, and he did go over this part of it.
Okay.
Yep, he did.
So what I think we should do is give them this.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And hand them a hard copy of it. We could print this. I can send you this.
Okay.
The thing without the draft.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are okay with this.
Mm-hmm.
Hand it to them in person. Tell them we need it back by November 30th. And if they want to meet with Peter or have any questions for him, do we set that up? How does that work?
Yeah, we can call Peter. Peter has come in before.
Yeah, I don't know with COVID. I know he's working from his house.
Yeah.
So why don't we just say,
we could do a phone call.
Like us to arrange, we can arrange a call with Peter.
Yep.
Let Donna know.
Okay.
You can either set that up if you want Jay to be there, me, or anyone.
So just maximum out-of-pocket.
Right.
So is this for two-person and family, or... Just curious where that
I think that's
the 5,000, 10,000 split.
Yeah.
Doesn't say. I think that's what it means, though.
Yeah.
That's a question for Peter because I'm just looking up the chart.
Because if it's for a two-person.
Oh, and just so you guys know. So then I looked at also just for where we are as a district.
Mm-hmm.
So if we take the current, it was a 6% increase. So I assumed we would pay for two people.
Mm-hmm.
It comes to plus the 6,000.
Yes. We have to add that in.
That cost. That's going to cost us $34,566. So basically
$35,000. Yeah.
This year, we budgeted $34,000. So my question is that just padded a little? Because we're going to be below budget if it's 6% below.
For next year, you mean?
No, for 2020.
No.
Yeah. Budget?
Yeah, I don't have a copy.
Mine is 34. I have it. It's $34,000. So... Anyway, so actually, we don't even have to budget for an increase next year.
Not for anything, but...
I know that a lot of times...
We're getting the deduction for December, so we've already got our December, and I just paid the November's in here, which
Well, I'm looking at the October budget so far. We have spent 22.4 versus 34. And say you assume they both put in 6,000, okay?
Yeah.
You're going to get the 28,000 right there. That leaves you with 6,000.
Okay, and the
monthly cost is only for two of them.
22,480.
Right, but that'll be for November, December, and then I think in January 1st, we pay for December or we pay for...
But the question is why, so it's going to come in around 34. It's going to be another 5,000, right, for November and December.
No, because we're getting the reimbursement.
Did you put the reimbursement in this line?
No,
it's not in the line.
Okay, so forget the reimbursement. But for what
reduced on our premium, is that right?
Yeah, so, like, after... It wasn't updated, but the 22.40 say.
How much is it now?
22.40 that we should be deducted from that budget, and that's what's left with no nothing being filed. So the 6,000.
The refund, you mean?
No. We don't have to pay December's bill. So that's
because
we're getting reimbursed. From the overage.
Right.
But why was 34,000 budgeted? It's too much, is my question. That's what. If last year, you're saying it was 22.40 a month?
Well, we were paying for. Oh, no, because Nancy wasn't there.
Yeah, she was gone. Yeah.
Maybe that.
They might have just been a little bit of a.
How much is it a month?
It's 22.40 saved.
12. That's 26.8
plus 6.
6,000 would be 32.880. So you guys just. For some reason, they got to 34.
Yeah.
6%. So next year, we just have to budget 34.5.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually not a big increase.
Right.
So I think the only outstanding question is do we want to consider paying for the family plan, which would be, if for one person, will be an extra $5,000 to cover that.
That the employee will pay?
No. She's saying, should the district consider paying for that?
One of the things I think is it's really a policy issue as opposed to a Kelly issue, and I think we have to...
Right.
Really think about in the future, like what, and it probably should be part of the handbook. I don't know if it was written in, but like, what are we off? What kind of employer do we want to be? Because say someone else comes, say they both leave, and we get two new employees, and they both want to put their children. Say they do want to keep their kids on Medicaid. But say they have kids that are over 21, and we're 21 to 26, and they both wanted a family. Is that something we're going? To provide, or should we be providing family plans? Like, why don't we offer a family plan is the question.
Mm-hmm.
Like, was it because early on when we started providing health coverage, or whenever we did, because the way New Hampshire's set up, none of these people make enough money, so they were all going to put their kids on Medicaid?
Yeah.
Is that why it's set up that
way? Well, I think it wasn't that long ago that we offered the two-person plan. I mean, that was something that Ron felt strongly about, making sure Kelly and his wife were covered, so it wasn't that long ago.
We only offered a one-person plan.
We were offering the employee only, correct?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it's sort of like any employer takes to offer family plans. The question is, you know, it's like, I don't know, I've hired people in jobs where I knew their spouse was insured. It cost my company less because they didn't take my insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so historically here, we had employees that their spouses actually had better health plans than what we were offering. So there was no cost to the district. And, in fact, one year we did not even budget for the two employees' health care. And we took it completely off the budget, and that made the budget look great. That year, both those employees' spouses lost their jobs. Then the district was bound to give them insurance, and we had to find that money in that year, which was not budgeted for. That was extremely dangerous to do that. So we've been lucky in not having to have to pay for employee insurance for several years. Then it went to a single-person plan under an emergency that year, so each of the employees were covered because you have to by law. And then the following year, or maybe a year following, or maybe a couple years after that, Ron felt it was advisable that we at least cover the spouse as well. So that's where we're at. But to your point, it should be a policy. Do we want to attract, if we have to, employees that would have a family? And that would obviously be an advantage to see that the whole family could be covered.
The other thing is, maybe I didn't know how to read
that. I would see what the towns are offering.
So Madison does offer a family plan.
But I also, we're a very small little district.
Right.
And that's
I mean, when you're adding $10,000 to the budget, that's a substantial percentage compared to other towns for their budgets, for their employees.
There was a thing in here.
But there's...
also, it says here that if you take the family plan, you have to cover all your kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's usually...
No, but say somebody had some kids that were 22-year-old and they had 16-year-olds.
Yeah.
And they want to cover their 16-year-old under Medicaid and they want to cover their 22-year-old under this plan.
Because that was one thing Kelly was concerned about, because he said he wanted the family plan for his oldest son, but he wanted to keep his younger children on.
But I don't know
if you can do that.
There's a thing in here about that. Let me find it for you. I couldn't understand it. It was a legal thing. It said you can't, oh, here. Employees who elect to cover dependents must enroll all of their eligible dependents other than dependent children age 19 and over who do not otherwise have group medical coverage.
So, not the older kids, but you do have to have all your younger kids.
No, I think must enroll all of their eligible dependents other than dependents under 19. So it's saying 19 and under maybe can stay on something else, but anyone else who's above. Say Kelly had two kids that were 21, and he only wanted one of them covered. Say one of them was employed, and he had really good insurance. He has to employ all of them. That's why. Is that right?
That's what it sounds like, because I think Medicare.
I worked, you know, before.
Oh, wait. Who do not otherwise have group medical coverage.
Yeah.
Okay.
So maybe it's one of his kids.
Right. So that would be the older one. And I think on Medicare at 19, you're off.
Employees who elect to cover dependents must enroll all of their eligible dependents who do not otherwise have group medical other than those 19 and over. So I guess it's saying anyone under is
added. Has to be?
This is a good question for Peter Chapman.
Okay.
Yeah.
Explain to him
the situation.
I don't know how many kids Kelly has, like what the age of their and stuff. But I want to make sure.
Kelly's got five? Jeff's got.
Kelly's got five kids?
I thought it was only four.
Well, I think he said, was it four or five?
I think he's got four kids.
Four? Okay.
I know two.
The other question that came up, and I don't know if Peter would know the answer to this, but if we offer a family plan that the district's paying for, then Jeff has to take the family plan because right now he's doing two person and his kids are on Healthy Kids.
I think you can offer.
No, you can offer both.
Yeah, he can pick what he wants.
Oh, I think if your employer offers, if they're paying out of their pocket like here, then that's different. But if we're offering full coverage on a family plan, Jeff can't go and say, I want my kids to stay on Healthy Kids, and they're going, wait a minute, your employer offers a family plan, so you have to pick the family plan.
Those are two questions.
All right.
And that was the question that came up last year that we never really got a clarification on. And they would rather keep their kids on Healthy Kids because there's no deductible. They said it's you know, free for everything.
I got to tell you, the way I read this is that Kelly takes the family plan, even if he pays for it. If he puts one kid in, he's got to put them all in.
Or at least list them.
No, if it's the primary insurance on a family plan, to my understanding when I used to do it, is that the primary insurance has to be if you have the whole family.
Okay, so they cover the whole family.
Yeah.
If he takes the family plan, he's got to put all his kids in it.
Right.
And then Jeff's got to do it, too. If we offer it.
Yeah, if we offer.
But say pay for it. He has to pay for it himself. Yeah, I'm talking about Kelly's situation.
Yeah.
If we offer to him and he has to pay for it, he still has to put all his kids in it, and he loses Medicaid. That's what I'm reading here.
I'll ask the question to Peter.
So there's two questions then.
Yeah.
One is the question for if we pay for it, the whole thing.
Yeah.
How does that affect the...
Does Jeff have to take it?
Yeah.
And the second question is if we don't pay for it, and Kelly, either way for Kelly, if Kelly takes it...
Whether we pay for it or not.
Whether we pay for it or not. And he has one older kid he wants on it, and the rest of the kids he doesn't want on it. Can he do that?
Yeah.
And that could be...
Those are really important before we even hand this to him, I think.
Okay.
If you make the call from the office, just so you have a second set of ears.
Yeah, exactly.
So
I got to go back and find it anyhow. So
what I know...
Yeah. And ask
if they ask.
And maybe even put it in an email to Peter versus in a phone conversation.
So we get it
clear.
Yeah.
But you guys, even if it doesn't matter, should we offer it? I mean, should we budget another
$10,000? I get it that healthcare is expensive and that even with the co-pays and us paying the deductible, it's still, you know, a huge expense to the to Kelly to have to cover his kids or his adult kids.
Mm-hmm.
But they knew that when they started working here, number one.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of part of the deal. We gave Kelly a pretty good raise last year to compensate for the fact that he was having to pay for his adult son.
I'm more worried about, like,
and
what happens. I mean, I hear the Kelly part. I'm also worried about the future. Like,
yeah.
I really think
well, we can always change the future. I mean, if
but we shouldn't change based on who you employ.
Like, the question is, if Kelly left in February, he decided to go find a job, and we put the net out. Somebody came in and they said, I've got four kids, ranging from 16
we'd
to
25. We'd have to say, sorry, we don't.
Do you have a group? Do I get family insurance for them? Well,
yeah.
No, it's going to cost you $5,000. Now, we could negotiate them extra salary.
Right. They could, we also could always put them on the family plan.
And we could say, next year we'll do that. Mm. This year we'll do it, but you're going to have to pay for it.
Right.
And next year we'll offer
and you could give them a signing bonus to $5,000 to cover it if we felt that employee was that worth it.
Yeah, I think that's probably a better way to handle it.
All right.
Given our budget situation, because I'm worried if we budget for it, then people reject it if they know me, they're going to reduce our budget.
Yeah. And there was some pushback a couple of years ago that, you know, and I guess partly they didn't understand that all we were paying for was two-person, not full family plan. That kind of squashed that a little bit.
Yeah, some voters wanted the employees to have more skin in the game.
To contribute, which they do in Madison. Madison pays their family plan, but the employee pays 7% of it.
Okay.
So you'll get Peter to answer.
Yeah.
I'm still going to send you this document.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. If you get answers that are, I think you just need to. Well, I don't want to. I hate to drag it another week. I mean,
I know.
I guess we could give them an extra week. What did I say? The week is December.
30th. Well, there's something about the 25th.
Is November.
Well, that's, I think, if we're going to, if we're going to change the plan. We're not.
Yeah.
I don't think there was any interest in changing to a different medical plan.
No,
there?
We'll stay with the same plan.
Yeah.
But then they have the choice within that plan of single,
okay,
two-person, or family.
That was my question to you. If it,
so it's the same plan, but then there's three options within
so
that same plan, and we're sticking with that plan.
Yeah, I was looking to see if we went to a better plan with a lower deductible. It would still cost us more versus paying for the deductible. It's like $10,000. Yeah, okay. All right.
Okay.
Well, we could, I mean, even if this gets delayed till next week, giving them this document, we can, I think, when I say
December
30th.
30th. No, November 25th is the date for changing plans. December 11th is the
date
we need to sign and return everything.
Okay.
And ask him if that's the date, Jay, that he needs.
Okay.
What we're doing. Because I know last year this went into January and stuff.
And February.
They sometimes make exceptions, but they don't like to do that.
No,
right.
No.
We had poor Primex jumping through hoops last year.
So, yeah.
Okay, so we got a couple of.
What did Kelly end up doing? He ended up just taking.
Right now, he's on the two-person. He's on the two-person plan.
Yeah.
That's it. Because what happened was, his older son, in order for him to play sports at Plymouth, had to be covered.
And then he's not playing, though.
And then when they close the schools in March.
Right.
So if he goes back to school next spring.
And they have sports, and he's playing sports, then he will need some coverage.
Right. It's horrible. It's a horrible situation.
Yeah.
I mean, my plan used to be covered 100% for my employer, and then when I left in 2018, I was paying $230 a month toward my plan.
My,
so that was for a single person.
I won
that was COVID.
My whole career.
Yeah.
I paid 100%.
That's pretty good.
It was good, but it went from nothing to, you know.
Really?
You know.
Yeah.
So I had one employer my whole career that played 100, and then over time, 8 years, they finally got rid of it.
Yeah, same
so
with me. I worked at 23 years, so it started 100% and ended up, you know,
John's
every year.
They always paid full and deductibles.
I've never had any employer pay any of it.
Right.
Yeah, no. And they were a small engineering firm, and they were very good up until the day.
I haven't had insurance in a couple of years. I don't know what it's about.
Yeah. You're on something, though, aren't you?
Yeah. So just to give you an example, I went and got my flu shot back around Labor Day, and a woman was looking at the computer in my card,
that there's something wrong. And she says, well, you don't get it fully covered, but you will get a discount. I said, yeah, I think that's what it's all about, to give me a discount. Yeah, you'll be getting $1.97 off, $1.97 off the price of the flu shot. I said, what's the price? $40. I'm like, wow.
And they give you $2 off.
Yeah.
I went to the state to get my COVID test back in maybe June, and my insurance was like yours. I said, you know what? I'm just going to private pay because they don't cover that kind of stuff. You don't know the state's going to pay for it. And I said, no, I will pay for it. It was $135. She said, I will pay. She goes, no, I don't want you to pay. The state's paying for it. So you pay for my flu shot. You pay for, I mean, not my flu shot, my COVID test.
COVID.
That's okay.
All right.
We thank you for getting it.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry that took a while.
Okay,
no, and then he says, you know, then he'll have it. He can talk to Peter. It's in writing. He signs for what he wants, and then we're done.
But I think what happens to the kids' coverage and how it relates to the state, what do they call it, Healthy Kids Plan?
Healthy Kids, yeah.
That's the big deal. Whether it'll, if we offer it.
Yeah, I think those are great questions. And I think this question
is
can he put just one kid on it?
Yeah.
I think that's. Because even if he then does it, and he has a 5,000. He loses the Healthy Kids plan.
Right.
What happens then if
he's subject to all the deductibles and stuff,
yeah,
which he wouldn't be with Healthy Kids. The co-pays and the deductibles would not exist.
Max up to 9,000 and we'd only pay three. So he could be hit with a $6,000.
Yep. If all his kids all got injuries.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
Okay.
Moving on to tabled items. I hope that we will continue to table those. We can go over the minutes that you had submitted next week.
Did Lynn submit?
Yeah, she did.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We'll go on that. That's fine.
Okay.
The agenda you emailed us, I thought it said the minutes from.
Yeah. Oh,
I looked at the agenda.
Agenda?
That you emailed us. I thought I saw minutes on it.
On.
Okay.
No?
Okay.
That's all right.
I may have been looking at an old agenda.
I didn't know she finished them.
The only thing on the agenda that I would, the only thing from the minutes that I would change is that it was talking about the zoning board,
yep,
and it said that we should be more. I wrote it down. We should take a stance, and it should say we should be notified.
Yes.
So.
So I sent out that letter to Colleen.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, yeah.
So Donna, so on the minutes from 10:29, at the very end, it talks about the zoning, and what Lynn wrote was that the district should take more of a stance. And it really is, it's not that we're taking a stance, it's just that we should be notified.
Right.
And then you wrote to Colleen, you know, as being the butter. Okay. So you just clarify that in the minutes.
All right. Let Donna finish that.
Okay.
All
right. And the last is correspondence. We have Eversource electric usage and cost for equipment.
I have two more.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I had one thing.
Commissioner reports. So just to get on the RFP, I answered the questions that they asked last week.
Oh, yeah.
And he asked me one more question. Yesterday, there was a mistake in the RFP, so I want to state that so it's on record.
Okay.
There was, it said something about submitting a schedule that was attached for the maximum amount of annual cost following some schedule. Remember, I used somebody else's as a template.
Yeah.
I just didn't catch that. So I basically wrote back to him and said there is no schedule attached. Just tell us how much it's going to cost per year for the next 3 years to do this.
Right.
Is that clear? He said totally clear. He'll have it to us probably this week. So due Monday. So I would suspect we'll have Namer, and we'll have this one.
Yep.
It also was posted on the
NHMA.
I'm not optimistic that we'll get any more bids, but they're due Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So next Thursday we can discuss whatever we have and hopefully pick somebody. Second thing is, just following up on this great discussion we had this morning with everybody, I think we should communicate to the district this week.
Yes.
That we have going on with, that we're not finishing this year.
Yeah.
I think we should be very proactive.
Mm-hmm.
Tell people.
I think it should come out on an email
either
voices.
Yeah.
I don't think it should be.
We'll put it on the website and we'll put it in a newsletter.
Are we due for a newsletter now?
Yeah, you could do a newsletter anytime you want. I mean, we've had three or four little blasts because of all the paving and stuff.
And
if
you want, I'm happy to draft a paragraph on this because I think I'm the layman who understands this the least. So
okay.
I would be happy to draft that I hope people will understand well why we're not finishing. If you want me to, I can do that today.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I can
send it to me. Yeah.
And to the office. I'll send it to all of you.
Yeah.
Okay.
And because if you think it should be enhanced, then people can communicate with the office. I would get it out
as fast as possible.
Yeah.
And just say, you know, news on Rhino Tank. I'll draft it.
Yeah, but I think it should, because there's a lot of stuff that's going about that you hear, you know, so-and-so heard this, so-and-so heard that. I think we should be more proactive of just having things go from the office.
On that.
On,
okay.
Like,
do you want
stuff
me to
like
do
this, just so that, you know, I mean, we have a lot of residents that know a little, but there's nothing ever in writing from coming from the district.
So do we want to put a little financial update as to where we are?
On that project?
Yeah.
If you, I have no idea. So
Because there's rumblings
mm-hmm.
that we're over budget.
Yeah.
So
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's
okay.
a lot of things that are going out that are half-truths, and that
good
we
idea.
Need to
yeah.
tighten
okay.
that up.
I'll draft Rhino Tank. This is what we're doing. You draft paragraph
to
follow
it
just on.
Here's
where we are with the
budget.
Mm-hmm. Or whatever.
Yeah.
And by making this delay, it will not cost us any additional dollars.
Airing
and then, the other thing I think I was going to do to it, and I don't know if it'll be ready in time, is that I want to stay in there. We had a really great discussion about all the options.
Yeah.
With the engineer,
mm-hmm.
our water company. You can watch this on Addison video. I was even going to
yeah.
put a link in for the meeting.
Yeah.
Post it quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And say, here it is. It was between 9:30 and 10.
About an
30
hour.
Minutes.
Yeah.
55 minutes. I wrote it down.
Mm-hmm.
If you have any questions, this would be great for you to watch.
Yeah, that's right. They get it from the horse's mouth.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'll put that in.
So with the engineer, the water operator, and the construction contractor.
Exactly.
And you commissioners.
Yep. And commissioners.
I thought that was a really good discussion with those guys. I mean, for me, I would say I'm totally the layman on this. I totally understood what they had.
And he was willing to explain it, too. I mean, you know,
yeah.
the...
Sorry, so...
Yeah.
Okay.
Somebody trying to sell me health insurance.
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Literally.
All right, I'll draft that today.
Okay, and then just email it to the office, and I can come back with any additions to that, and we can...
And then just send it out as an email.
Yep.
Get it out by tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
even.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Yep.
Well, I don't know how to...
I can do it. No.
Okay.
Yeah, because Lynn's getting back. Lynn's
very
done a couple of things on MailChimp,
yeah.
so
yeah.
Okay. That's all
in
I
her
know.
Absence, we can do
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Right.
And then the only thing I was going to add is that we had this fact sheet about Idlewife.
Oh, yes, yes.
So that, Lynn was trying to explain to people about the district again, and we never approved this as a document. So this was Paula's modified version, and I just added to that that Idlewife has no regulations or authority over property rentals.
Right.
Perfect. Yeah.
Should it be any more elaborate than that? Because they do ask that question about
yeah,
property rentals.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you make a motion to adopt this as an official fact sheet, I'll
yeah,
make that motion.
Just to, at the very bottom, you know when you see documents in the bottom in parentheses that has a date?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Okay, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Rev control.
If it gets revised
yeah.
at some point. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you just put the date on there. You put today's date.
Yeah.
So if you want, I will email this to the office.
Do you need a motion?
I guess, yeah. I made a motion to accept this as an official Idlewife fact sheet.
Any further discussion?
Nope.
Yeah, the only thing, and it may actually be too much detail, is village
Probably.
Districts can be yeah, village districts can be conformed under 14 different criteria.
No, it doesn't matter.
Right. And
we said, as a municipality, we are bound by the laws of the town and the same responsibility to its taxpayers. And we are responsible.
I looked those up one day, and I was
Did you say we are bound by the laws of the town?
We are. As a municipality, the village district is therefore bound by the laws of the town and has the same responsibility to its taxpayers as any other town in New Hampshire.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. I thought you were referring to the town of Madison.
No, just a town. We're considered like a town.
Right.
Can you just talk about? Funding for the operations are raised by property taxes and an annual water fee. There's an annual meeting, as in any other town. In order to vote in Idlewife annual meeting, Idlewife must be your primary residence, and you must be a registered voter as such with the town of Madison. This will allow you to vote in the Madison town meeting as well. The district's primary function is the maintenance of the 16 miles of road and the municipal drinking water system. We don't have to say that it could be a water district or a lighting district or a, you know, a parks and recreation district or a school district.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. We were formed for the function of roads and water. That's it. Okay. Do you want to reread that for anything?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
I would vote yes. Oh,
okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Yes.
Okay.
So I'll forward that so that whenever you have questions, you can just mail it out.
Yeah. Can you go on to the website?
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Yep,
I'll go on the website.
And I have the, mentioned to me, the Eversource electric usage and cost of October.
Yeah.
They're way down.
Yes, because I adjusted them because of, we were built,
Separating
the DPW well with the buildings, the pump house, and buildings and grounds. So we changed the...
allocation.
So I changed the figures to match what was
Because before we had
the percentage.
We had two electrical meters on the building before,
right.
And Eversource just said, no, you can have one meter on the building. If you want to separate the service with inside the building, you can, but that costs a lot of money.
And I did that.
So we've got one meter, so we have to say, okay, the bill for the DPW one building,
is
85% of it is really the well and the pump.
Right.
And then we took the balance and broke it up between highway buildings and grounds and then the...
It's 15 for some buildings and grounds.
And then...
It's 15 for water buildings.
Yeah.
And it's 70 for the pump house.
Yep. Because the chem room is in there and all that. So
yeah.
We wanted to get some of that charged to the water budget.
Yeah.
And then the other is the office and Kelly's area. So
yeah.
We just kind of broke it up a little bit differently.
So
did that all go as one lump sum transaction into this month? Like, did you go back?
I went to back to each one.
Oh, you did. Okay, you changed each month.
So I changed this month to the correct, I believe.
Okay.
And then October, October of last year, we probably didn't have the VFD on the DPW well.
Right.
So that may be what that's reflective of.
Yeah, that is a significant cost because you're getting away from three-phase power
mm-hmm.
when you use the VFD. So three-phase startup is very simple.
I did open that and look at it. What was the budget? We're going to be a little over budget on electric, I think, because of that.
Mm-hmm. So currently, as of the month of October, we're at $24,636.
What do we budget?
I think we're in the
30s. Okay. I noticed it's going to be higher than last year, but I would assume that you guys budgeted for that.
Yeah. That may be part of the demographics of the pandemic with all the people being here.
Mm-hmm. The budget is $33,600.
Yeah, we'll be over.
We'll be over that
total? Yeah.
What is it up to?
Because we'll get a November bill, a December bill, and our January bill will be for December, so that'll have
what
to be.
What did we spend last year?
$24,636 is what we're up to.
Okay. Three more readings to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And last...
Oh, no, they're like, how much are they running with 2,000 a month?
2,400
a month.
Last year...
It might be okay. I think
it'll
be
very close.
Okay. Last year was
we got a little cushion in there.
25 in November, and in December it was 31.
Okay. I think we're going to be pretty close.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do we have anybody on the line for a public comment?
Nobody came. Just.
Unless Carol wants to say something.
Carol, she loves that meeting.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't have anything. I'll make a motion to adjourn at 4:10.
Call a second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Wow.
Can you turn off the phone?
Yeah.